listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
League of My Own, Swag Gina Davis, only rapper making 100K on your playlist. Niggas talk on Twitter, but in like they don't say shit. My rollie's so racist, all black faces. We the new face it, kill them like Jason. Grind in my sleep, man, a nigga need braces. Wonder what they feeling like, used to be the nervous type. They ain't mention Beano, man, that shit must be on purpose, right? Hostile, nigga my style. Kind of flow to paint a picture Norman Rockwell. I don't eat pasta. Everything is low carb. I don't fly coach now. Say I fly Goyard. Metaphor Mozart. All we do is tell him. Oh wait. Leave him cut face covered in that Coast Guard. Metaphor Mozart. All we do is tell him the truth. M. Fox to my people on some family ties. Magazines got got black faces when somebody dies. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house on a Monday. Ready to have some fun, guys. Of course, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews and we will read them on the air as long as they're nice. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today's show is sponsored for really the last time this month, guys. Okay, you guys have to listen to what I'm trying to tell you because it's gonna be gone like that tomorrow.
Tomorrow is it.
Loot Crate. It's a cool monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive nerdy items. We have a gang of stuff just sitting on the shelf in our house from Loot Crate. Karen has a gang, just a rack of t-shirts.
Yes, I'm setting my t-shirt game up.
I got all kinds of socks, you know what I mean? Like
draws.
You know, draws. I got Steven Universe draws out here setting them cakes out, you know what I mean? Like, you gotta get it, get with it. lootcrate.com/TBGWT, code TBGWT. Save $3 off of any new subscription. It also makes a great gift. It doesn't have to just be for yourself. You could give it to a loved one, you know? It's the kind of thing where, the nerdy person in your life, they'll appreciate. All right. Let's get into some news and news. First of all, I did have a couple, just a few things. Anyone else ever get calls from unknown numbers, but the number has the first 6 digits of your phone number as well? You know, I asked this on social media and a lot of people was like, yes.
Yeah, is this thing, I think your daddy told me, it's called like ghosting. I forgot what it is. It's something where
spoofing,
that's what it was, ghosting, spoofing, where people actually call you from real telephone numbers, but the person who actually owns that number is not the person calling you.
Right. And the thing for me is, I understand that people say it's spoofing, that's from telemarketers. I don't answer because I don't answer no calls if I don't know who it is.
Honey, if I ain't got your picture and the name, I'm not answering you. Because that's why people are like, why you taking a picture of me? So I can put your picture beside your name so I know who's calling me. I got some friends and they be like, I called. I be like, you left a message? No, but then that's why I ain't returned your call.
Yeah, so.
Who is you?
So, I don't answer the call, but I was thinking, what if it's alternate dimension versions of ourselves calling us from their dimension? And they just, you know, that would make sense because, like, they had the same local number, but, you know, maybe that the, you know, just the last 4 digits has changed. I mean, I didn't answer to see, so who knows how hard I believe in this, but, you know, if they calling from a dimension where Trump lost, you know, maybe I want to hit them up, see what's going on, what's life like over there.
But, I know.
Or maybe they from the future.
I know, Earth 2 or 3.
They found a way to call ourselves back from the future and be like, the lottery number, but they can't leave messages. That's why they don't leave voicemails, because it's from the future, but they can talk to you directly. I don't know.
Never know.
Last thing, sushi places where you can order all you want to eat, but they charge you if you have any leftovers. It stressed me out and I don't like them and I'm not going back.
That's some bullshit. That's the first time it's ever been like, hey, if you don't eat, charge you.
That's
like,
the second time. What? That was the place that we almost went to had the same policy.
Oh, they got the same.
Which is one of the reasons I didn't want to go there. So then we end up going to this other sushi place. I don't know why I'm saying the name, Mr. Tokyo. And it's not bad. I mean, it's like $19 per purse. That's all you can eat, right?
Excellent.
The food was good. But y'all, it's too much stress. Like, I was literally counting down the last few pieces, like, oh God, I hope I can finish this roll. Oh, there's four pieces left. Oh, please don't sue us. Don't. I don't want to have to go to small claims court over $4.50.
15 cent up charge.
Like, I don't know what they don't tell you how much they gonna charge you. They don't tell you what counts as leftovers. Like, is half a roll of leftover? Is a whole roll of leftover? Like, if I order four rolls, but I leave two pieces of each, am I getting charged? Like, I just want to know what the rules are on that kind of shit. And I had four left, and I just couldn't finish them, y'all. I tried, but it was too much. And you know, and I was counting down to the wire, and then she just took my plate like nothing happened and charged me the normal price with no leftover fee. And I was like, I really stressed myself out here the whole time that we were eating for no reason.
Mm-hmm. And I think they probably do that for people that purposely overeat. I mean, not overeat, but get more rolls than they already know that they can eat in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And then don't eat them, because you know you can't take the whole.
Right. So, I don't know, man. It was, I don't know if other people had this experience as well, but it's...
I don't like it. I understand the purpose is probably to keep food costs down, too.
Right. So, I don't know. Just wasn't my thing.
Right. If that's the case, just order individual. Just do like everybody else. Just have regular-ass sushi rolls if you have to buy one by one then.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I was thinking about, some people's pro-blackness is just anti-blackness, but they throw black people need to ... in the front.
Come on.
Like when people say stuff like black people need to stop buying Jordans if we ever supposed to do that, like that's really just the same shit white people say about us, and it's race themed. It's just steeped in racist stereotypes and shit.
And white supremacy.
Yeah, and but if you ask that person, they probably think that they're being super pro-black. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Like, no, I'm saying all black people, we need to all get together and do. And it's like, but I mean, is that even a real expectation of black people? Because you can do that about everything we consume, you know.
Everything.
Like, and it's always just some shit black people need to do only, you know, black men need to be, go up and be fathers today. And it's like, okay, I don't think there's a whole contingent of black men walking around disagreeing. Like, no, they don't need to be fathers. Being fathers is wrong, you know, like, but it's just kind of interesting because it does kind of sound like what white people say about us, and obviously there's statistics and all kinds of shit that normally offset these points.
Yes, sir.
But people won't listen to them
as they don't care, because I've come to the conclusion when it comes to a lot of people, they already have their argument points already on their PowerPoint presentation, and they not trying to hear anything outside of the arguments that they've already got pinned up on their tweets.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about anything outside of that, they yada 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 all over it, because that's not talking about the points that they've already got pre-planned out in a 20 tweet thing they already got laid out in advance.
Yeah, it's kind of like that thing I feel about the election where it's like some people so pro-black they hate black people too.
Come on.
You know what I mean? Where it's like they're blaming black people for the state of the country. Like, that's just ahistorical, and it's just another hurdle to put in front of us, or else we not real. You know what I'm saying? Like, I respect y'all when y'all do this. It's like,
well, then there's nothing we can do then.
Yeah, yeah. Basically you'll never respect black people. Cool, got it. You're a black person that's so woke that black people ain't shit, you know.
Right.
It's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where
them the type of black folks that get on my nerves, like they really really do, because if I be like, hey dog, you sound like the white man, all of a sudden I'm the problem for pointing out that you saying the exact same shit the white people say to us.
Right. So I just thought that was interesting. Let's see what else is going on. I guess some people are talking about this in the chat already, but I issued my own apology to Karen and my family. I issued it on social media, on Instagram.
I'm glad you did.
And Twitter and Facebook, you know, like you're supposed to when you really have respect and love for somebody and it's a private situation, you tell the rest of the world, you know. And I did at her, though. Like, I noticed Kevin Hart didn't even at his wife on Instagram. He just put out his Instagram and then didn't even like tag her to it. So like, she gotta wait for people to talk about it so that she can finally, you know, and say what's going on. Like, I just felt like that wasn't that wasn't right on his part. I'll play the apology in here. Let me see if I put it on screen for you guys, because I know a lot of y'all want to hear it. But you know, I'll let it speak for itself, but I think it's pretty obvious, you know, that there's been some issues on the podcast for quite a while now, and you guys probably do wonder what's going on. So all right, it's showing up. All right, here we go. I don't know what the audio's like on this. I didn't even replay it.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy Rod. I gotta apologize to my wife and my family for really letting them down. I got myself into some situations that I know I'm better than, but doing this podcast thing, I walk around with a target on my back, and sometimes, you know, you make bad decisions, and I just want to put this apology out here, you know, before my wife gets home from work, just in case some like snap shit happens and y'all don't see me again. I got into her Reese's cups. She had frozen these in the refrigerator, and she's at work right now, but as y'all can see, I went through the whole bag. I couldn't, you know, and I know that this is on me, and I do apologize, and I want all the fans and the people I let down, I want y'all to know that I'm sorry. And you know, I can't, you know, I can't put this on nobody but me, and it's just going forward, I have to be a better person and make better decisions. So y'all pray for me and respect our privacy in this matter at this time. You know, respect my family, and you know, make sure y'all check out the blackouttips.com, check out the podcast, and holler at your boy. All right, man, prayers up, y'all. Peace.
Obviously it won't happen again, guys, and please respect our privacy. We won't be won't be taking any questions.
No phone calls.
Won't be reading any comments about this.
No media press runs.
No. Now, a lot of people was like, how are you still alive? Guys, through the magic of TV, those are actually my Reese's cups, okay, that I froze for myself, that I bought for myself. You think I'm stupid enough to eat Karen's Reese's cups while she's at work and then put a video out and die for y'all? For the podcast? For entertainment? No. Nothing's as funny as dying. Nothing. Nothing's that funny. So, no, guys. It wasn't, it was just a joke. I would be on here yesterday being like Kevin Hart was wrong and then do that. Come on, guys. You know me better than that. Y'all also saw how quick Karen was to accept the apology on social media. Obviously it was fake,
like every good black woman should,
right? I was just surprised I didn't have enough ashy dudes defending me and being like, listen, king, if you need to eat your queens, that's yours, okay? It's both of y'all. She knew what was happening when she married you. She knew she had a fat man with a sweet tooth, like, you know. That's what they say of Kevin Hart. I just want the same. I deserve y'all. No, okay. Nicki Minaj and Nas may be dating, according to sources.
Oh, ain't that cute?
I want it to be true so we can call them Nicki Minaj if they keep dating. Yeah. You know, like we had Brangelina, Bennifer. Like, Nicki Minaj is too good for us not to
have.
To have. I want them to show up to public places and be like, ooh, you see Nicki Minaj at the Grammys last night? You know, like, well, can we do that? Nicki Minaj spotted out eating, you know, like, let's do this. So I hope it's true. What else is happening? Oh, Hillary Clinton opens the door to questioning legitimacy of the 2016 election. Mm-hmm. That door has been wide ass open since November 2016, and all she did was be the 1 millionth customer to walk her ass through it. What are we acting like? Like, people acting like this book is making the media have to question, like, we never thought before this. which is a shame, man, because the book's not, you know, most people haven't even read the book yet, and from my understanding, there's a lot of like self-blame self like responsibility she takes in the book. Like, I really wasn't planning on reading this book, to be honest. Like, I know what happened, you know what I mean? To be honest, like,
I lived it.
The excerpts I saw that just kind of confirmed what I already knew, like, I was just like, yeah, I saw that happen. That's not really groundbreaking, but I'll probably end up getting the book now because of just how much hate and stupidity people have had towards this fucking book, man. People were not like this with Bernie. People weren't like this with Mitt Romney and his fucking book. Like, I've never seen people be this fucking visceral towards somebody. And you know, they released a little paragraph that pointed out that the media was kind of complicit in Donald Trump, which would. Everybody said,
right?
But somehow her saying it makes it like, shut the fuck up, bitch, da 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 da. Like, that's just crazy talk to me. So yeah, and the media trying to act like brand new about this shit, like, oh, we've never questioned the legitimacy of the election until Hillary Clinton said something. Like, no, we all have, you know. Now, I personally, in my opinion, don't feel like the election was illegitimate. Like, they would have to literally find some evidence of Russia or somebody hacking into voting systems and make changing people's votes. Because as far as I'm concerned, white people just pick this. Like, you know, a lot of the terms that people use for hacking means they tricked white people into voting for a racist, and you ain't got to trick white people into that. Like, I don't know what country y'all think this is. It ain't that much. It ain't that hard to get a white person to say some racist shit or do some racist shit by just dog whistling to them. That's never been hard, and that's not called, that shit is not called, hacking. You hack a computer.
Come on.
You know, you don't hack a vote. You know, I think white people went in there and pulled that lever, and I don't think there's any, you know, I don't think we're gonna find a paper trail of hacking and computer fraud and all that shit and voter fraud. I think we're gonna just, this is what white people wanted. I mean, he didn't win the popular vote. He won in like three states by less than 70,000 votes or some shit. Look, that's completely possible, you know. Like, that's just what it is. So anyway, well, like, to me, what's funny is white people that have been defensive of the idea that, like, they get offended by the idea that white people elected Trump, they've been saying some shit that doesn't hold water when it comes to this election, you know. Like, because honestly, this is no offense to black people, but I don't really care what black people say about this election on a certain level when it comes to like the black people that are like, I don't fuck with Hillary and this, it's her fault, da da da. It's not that they're wrong. I mean, it's not that they're right, and that's why I don't care. I don't care because we don't have the numbers for that shit to have made a difference. You see what I'm saying? Like, if we had more numbers and that was the reason she lost, okay. But when the vast majority of black people voted for her, I don't really have, you know, any gripes with black people that went out and voted. You know, if you didn't go vote, I mean, there's just not much of a gripe I can have with you, because I don't think you represent a significant number of people that swung the election. The gripe I have is people present whiteness as objective because, hey, the same amount of people that voted for Mitt Romney voted for Donald Trump. Why are we acting like white people did something fucked up? Because I'm saying Donald Trump is that much more of a horrible candidate than Mitt Romney. He's never held office. He's a bigot. He's a misogynist. He's a xenophobe. He's a bunch of shit. And everything that he is worse than the other candidate, or was worse than the other candidate. So, no, I'm not going to just say, hey, white people really figured this out. They voted in the same percentages. Well, you shouldn't have. There should be something that is too low for you. And Trump should have been that thing. Even if you're conservative, he should have been the line for like, no, this man's ridiculous. Okay? He's running on nothing but ignorance and racism and bigotry. So yeah, man, I don't really buy that this guy hacked. I mean, it'd be a pleasant surprise to find out it got hacked, to be honest, you know, but I don't think you need to hack us as a country. I don't think you need to. I think you just need to make people scared enough of black agendas and brown agendas and shit. I mean, because as much as people that are on the left that are brown and Muslim and black and all this different shit, as much as we can have our gripes with Hillary Clinton, all those things that made her even quote unquote pander to us was enough to make white people not like her in general. Not every white person, obviously, but it made a lot of white people be like, I don't really like her. They still think it's because of her or she's not likable or whatever. Legitimately, they don't like her because she spent a lot of time talking about white supremacy because she had to. This is not this is all just because she wanted to win. I'm not saying that, like, she walks around every day thinking about this shit, but she spent a lot of time talking about immigration. She had to spend a lot of time talking about defending Muslims. She had to spend a lot of time talking about women's rights and abortion and harassment because Donald Trump was like, she had to spend a lot of time talking about shit that is a turnoff to people that, you know, hey, I'm just a white person, I only want to think about white shit. Like, and yeah, they didn't trust her. And the other guy's like, I'm only talking about white shit. Like, I don't even have any other platform. Like, I just don't like Mexicans, and I tell people punch Black Lives Matter activists in the face. That's it. You know, people keep trying to switch it back to how much they don't like this woman. And I personally refuse to even engage in that shit, because it's just, but then what was there to like about Trump? Because then you have to admit that something's wrong with you, and nobody wants to admit, especially white folk, they don't want to admit something wrong with them. Like, something's wrong with you to make you pick this man. All right, speaking of white people fucking up, Sean Spicer was at the fucking Emmys last night. It was interesting because it was like Stephen Colbert was hosting, and they were doing this big old, like, political, they did this number about how TV is like this escapism, and I actually liked it, to be honest. Like, the opening song was actually really dope about how, you know, watching TV is kind of, because life is better on TV. Like, let's watch TV because basically life is shit outside of TV, and TV is the way that people escape. It's the opiate of the masses. And the reason I actually liked it better than, say, like, Tina Fey shit is that there's like a 30-second, 45-second interlude where Chance the Rapper raps in it, and he kind of raps the opposite message. So it was kind of self, it worked in a way that Tina Fey's skit never could, because it actually was self-aware. Like, look, all these people on TV that are rich and white for the most part are sitting around talking about, isn't life just better on TV? Let's just focus on that and forget about the real world for a little bit. And then you have Chance the Rapper come in rapping, and he's like, no, let's help people out, let's protest, you know. Matter of fact, I wonder if I could play that. Life is better on TV. I bet there's a video.
Oh, you know,
of it.
YouTube. Somebody got it.
Yeah.
I done cut it up somewhere.
And, you know, and I literally randomly kind of tuned into this.
Because I didn't know what was happening.
Karen was in there asleep, I think. Let me see. Colbert song, Grammys, I guess, maybe.
Opening song.
2017. All right, let's see.
Opening song, opening skit.
Okay. It was, you know, but honestly, it was cool. Like, to be honest, that song was, to me, was cool. You know, obviously Stephen Colbert is extremely okay, cool. And let's see, this page is short. Okay, let's see what else we got. At any rate, though, he, you know, Stephen Colbert is a consummate professional, very good funny actor and showman and whatnot, and he's got, like, you know, he can sing, dance, all that shit. Okay, here, maybe this will play it. He can sing and dance and all that shit, so it was kind of one of those, like, right in his wheelhouse things. I think the skit even starts with him and Anthony Anderson and somebody else, and they're like talking about you know, like, rich people TV shit, and how, like, they made a joke about Confederate And Anthony Anderson was like, yeah, I hate that, and I'm not gonna watch it. I'm gonna cancel my HBO as soon as Game of Thrones go off, because I love them dragons, you know. it was pretty funny. Let me see. Entertainment news. That's not it.
Where are you looking?
This is SMH.com. It said Emmy's 2000 had a video for him opening up the show with a song and dance routine. Why, you find it? Did you find it? Because if you not, you can send me a link. Sorry. Okay. I didn't even plan to play this, so this is my bad, y'all.
Oh, no problem. I'm about to say, yeah, I'm pretty sure you can. Let me see.
I mean, CBS might just have like a chokehold. You know, CBS don't really show, CBS don't play that shit. So they might just have a chokehold on that shit. At any rate, man.
What was this, Emmys?
Yeah, it's the Emmys, yeah. Oh, yeah, that might help if I put the Emmys instead of Grammys, guys. That might help.
That might be
the problem. I think that's exactly what the problem is, was, guys. Maybe he's hosted the Grammys in the past. I know it said he won one just now. So.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let me see if I can put this on screen then. Thank you, Karen.
No problem.
I'm an idiot. All right, so here we go. Turn the volume up. Roll it back. Let me know when it's on screen, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it'll pop up soon.
It is. I don't know if you want to make it bigger, but it's
here. I'm about to.
Okay.
Because I'm about to. That's what I was born to do. All right, so here's the show.
Stranger Things is much less strange than our reality. Everything is better on TV.
Stephen Colbert is right. Musical numbers, opening monologue.
Oh, no.
This is news.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Somebody put a link in the chat room.
All right, let me try that link. Ah, guys. You guys. All right, let me see. Copy link address. All right, let's try this one. Please don't be the same link.
I don't know. Yeah,
you might have to say
opening act or opening song.
Well, you know what? I think CBS really might not play that shit. You know, they got the app. Oh, it is the same thing.
Well, then my thing is, why can't you just go to the CBS? Why can't I get off of CBS? What the hell?
Anyway, just trust me. It was better, right? I'm not saying it was perfect or anything, but it was better. Let me see if I can play Chance's part, because it looks like this video has the clips kind of up there. Oh, I guess someone has the link. Anyway, let me play.
Still managed to drop a line or two to remind people to support their local mom and pop stores and to show up to the protest instead of wasting time in front of the TV.
Get it, the finales, they got you focused. Just record the show and try to show up at the protest.
Meanwhile,
that's only a little bit of it, but that's fine. Anyway, point being, I was like, oh, cool. This is cool. Then, during the opening monologue, when he's making jokes and stuff on the stage, you know, some pretty good jokes. I supported Trump stuff, you know, Stephen Colbert don't fuck with Trump. And then they had this moment where they brought like Sean Spicer out and gave him a podium, like the Emmys, and everybody like applauded him for being there. And I honestly, man, I turned the shit off. I just went and watched something else.
Cause fuck that nigga. I ain't forgot.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's the thing. I don't really normally tune into these shows on purpose because most of these shows are just not for us. It's not with us in mind. Mm-hmm. You know, I am much like Issa Rae. I root for the black people.
Come on. I just watch black Twitter and Facebook and Instagram respond. And I'm like, yay. And then I keep on like, they'll keep me updated about who won.
Yeah, they'll take pictures of people's outfits, shit like that. It was a total bummer to me, you know, because it just reminds me of how quickly white people get redeemed in this country off of bullshit. Like, that dude was a piece of shit. That dude took a job in that administration that made people mock him, but they mocked him partially because he was fucking up.
Come on.
And he was up there and he was more than happy to get in America's face and lie every day, and he was more than happy to get up there and berate April Ryan multiple times. I don't fuck with him. And the idea that, you know, I know people thought for the most part, like, oh, Trump will be mad that we did this. Like, look at us. We took your guy that you fired and put him on TV isn't it? Aren't we? We're laughing at you. But I'm like, I don't think so.
Right.
You know, like, that dude shouldn't be allowed to come back. That dude shouldn't be allowed to just, and definitely not on the, in the, under the auspices of, look, he's on our side. He's not on your side.
Nope.
You know, that Scaramucci dude is hosting TMZ Live today. Like, why is that okay with everybody? I mean, I know why.
Watch whiteness work.
Right. It just, that's what it feels like. You know what I mean? They were like, that dude that does the car karaoke shit, kissed him on the cheek. You know, I'm like, what is this? You know, but once again, that's why I don't watch. You know, like, I can't watch all the people I root for lose all night long, or, you know, for the couple of wins we get.
Yep.
And the wins that we get are still historic.
It's 2017 and motherfuckers, I'm out. The first in 40 years, or the first in 20 years, the first. It's 2017, we're still crossing first, and people are talking about, shut up, bitch, no, we still crossing first.
Yeah, like, it was a whole lot of first black person to do this, first black person to do that, first black woman to do that. Like, there's a whole lot of first in a old award that's been around as long as the Grammys has.
Come on.
So, yeah, it's just, but, you know, I don't know if that's just my experience or not. I like I said, I change the channel. I don't live tweet it. I don't tell everybody that is, like, how they not woke.
I know that's some people's thing. So, like, yeah. I don't bother people. I just know I can personally consume only but so much whiteness. I don't know what my quota is, but once I feel it, I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah, I just feel like when it comes to those award shows, it's just it's not for us. It's not really made with us in mind. Mm-hmm. You know, I heard my man Sterling K. Brown won, but they played off his speech with music, like, pretty fast, and they had just let somebody go on for like 2 minutes with their long ass speech and didn't get played off. So, you know, it's that thing where I'm just like, I always have to remember a little bit, like, these are black people at work as well.
Come on.
Like, this is their job. You know, they can't shake the boat too much. You can't say too much of the wrong thing. These are your coworkers. These are people that provide opportunities. These are your bosses. They're rewarding you. They're at least letting you sit at their table, quote unquote. Like, you know, it's just not with them. It's not what you in mind. It's not centered around you. So I'll be back for the BET Awards.
I don't know when it matters.
Yeah. Police officers in St. Louis chant after breaking up protest. Police officers in riot gear gathered alongside a St. Louis Boulevard late on Sunday night, chanting, "Whose street? Our street." This is gangs in New York. A common refrain used by those protesting against the acquittal of a white former officer over the death of a black man after successfully clearing the street of demonstrators and onlookers. So it's like a taunt. Police out there taunting the citizens of that, because the citizens are upset that you killed an unarmed black man and got away with it. You know, I've tried not to really talk about this one that much, but, cause I didn't even watch the video of this one. Couldn't. You know, some of these I'm just like, nope. But, you know, the description that I've heard, talking about literally on camera that they're gonna go kill this motherfucker. You know, we killing this motherfucker, right? Or whatever. I mean, how does that not premeditated murder? How's that not at least murder? Just something, like, you get to just go home after that shit? Like, what does a badge mean when a badge means that, then a badge is meaningless. When your fellow officers are going to the street and fight protesters and taunt them over that shit, I don't know what to tell you. Cause the only thing I believe a badge means is that you can kill a person without any concern. You can be a cold-blooded killer. If that's the ultimate meaning of what a police officer is supposed to be able to do in this country, then we don't need the police. If that's all it is, it has to be more than that. You know, and I just was on here yesterday talking about the police that helped people out in the hurricane and shit. You know, like, that's something I think the vast majority of people can get behind and understand.
Correct.
You know, but this shit where you're going around basically fighting citizens for turf over after a person gets off, but he's on your side, quote unquote. So I guess that makes it okay. Like that's not okay. The news conference early on Monday, interim police officer Lawrence O'Toole said the police had seized at least 5 weapons and said he was proud to tell you the city of St. Louis is safe and the police own the tonight. We're in control. This is our city and we're going to protect it.
You know what? I know you had a running joke, but you said it a while ago. Every time they do this shit, I always think, what the fuck is this, Batman?
Right. The chant drew criticism, however, from protesters, activists, and police officers. In a statement, Sergeant Heather King, president of the Ethical Order of Police, a group founded by African-American officers, said that chant goes against the very code of ethics we swore to abide by. Yeah, protect and serve who? Whether we agree with the demonstrations, protests, or acts of violence, our job to do our job free of personal bias. On Twitter on Monday, a group said, we are human and we will make mistakes. We are also people who have the last word, which can be arrest, freedom, or death. We need to chant. Hundreds of officers have mobilized after another day of peaceful protests over the acquittal of Jason Stockley in connection with the death of Anthony Lamar Smith. The protests began at the police headquarters downtown. Hundreds of people marched through downtown streets, the posh Central West End, and the trendy Del Mar Loop area of nearby University City. You know, this is also interesting too, because I don't know anything about St. Louis, but I would bet that's probably a place where they've gentrified and white folk live there now, and y'all going through there marching is scaring them.
Right.
You know, like they move into our neighborhoods, they don't want our problems. They move to our neighborhoods, they don't want our bodies. They don't want us marching. They don't want to hear any of that shit. They're just like, keep your march out of our shit. After nightfall, there were reports of property damage and vandalism for a third night in a row. Several windows were broken at a Marriott hotel and at other businesses. Concrete planters were knocked over and trash cans tossed into the street. There were also reports from the demonstrators of aggressive responses from police, including the Mason and violent takedowns of compliant demonstrators. Police made more than 80 arrests after authorities said people ignore orders to disperse following the peaceful protest. Demonstrators countered that police boxed them in, giving them no way to disperse.
Right.
At least one credential reporter and several members of the public were live streaming the protests, and they were detained. So they're detaining the journalists.
I 100% believe that. They purposely make it where you can't go nowhere, antagonize you and shit. Where you get, because the thing is, they want you to respond to give them an excuse. A lot of times they ain't got to have an excuse, but you know, if you quote unquote strike first, it becomes a problem.
Yeah, it's Ferguson all over again when it comes to this shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a pattern.
Yeah.
Baltimore, there's a pattern.
Yeah, and also it's a pattern, and I never realized this till later on, there's a pattern of moving black people to certain areas. The property drops, the property value drops, the school system on is good. The land isn't as expensive. Everything drops. Black people come over there and gentrify. Then you take the brown people, you move them somewhere else, that drops. So that's why black people and brown people a lot of times can't get any roots anywhere, because every time we get somewhere and we do get roots, you just come and just take it again. And you're like, well, y'all just buying the shit back that y'all had years ago, that we were here before you years ago, because didn't nobody want to be on this side of town. Didn't nobody want to be over here. You know, and it's one of the things that makes people mad, and people wonder why a lot of people are just against gentrification. That's because we're about to leave people shit the fuck alone. Just let people live in their neighborhoods and be, because a lot of times when white people come, they strip it of its culture, they strip it of its personality, they strip it of its roots, they strip it of its foundation, and they put bodegas and all kind of pretty plants and shit on top of it. They don't want to do anything that community has done for years. They hike up the prices and run people out.
Yeah, and police come in there to protect the white folks, not to actually do their job. You know, like, it's not like, oh, well, now the police will care because there's some white people in the mix. It's like, no, we coming in here to do noise ordinances and loitering charges and shit like that. It's like, well, we've always hung out on this corner. Well, now you can't. White people have a high-rise apartment next to it. You know, they calling the police on you night and day.
And then people wonder why on Insecure, why Issa came in and tell her shit up. People say, it ain't nothing but $60. Bitch, $60 can make or break somebody. A month? That's a lot of money.
Yeah, city police described being attacked by protesters with unknown chemicals, but then they had a picture of them carrying liquid that was marked apple cider vinegar. Apple cider vinegar is used to counter the effects of tear gas. So, were you attacked with apple cider vinegar? Is that what we're running with? One officer suffered a leg injury, but I mean, he could have Leonard Brothers that shit. We don't know how he hurt his leg.
Moving boxes around in his house.
Right. Like, I mean, honestly, it's this thing. You arrest 80 people, 150 people, and then you're like, and then one officer got a splinter. That's how difficult it was. The violence was so real. Like, man, fuck out of here. You're on the street chanting at people that are citizens, taxpaying citizens of your nation. So, and I honestly, dog, not surprised at all, because under this administration, that's the exact, response under Obama, and they were trying to curtail that shit, and they were at least like a Justice Department that was investigating this shit, and it wasn't just investigate, it was like we were coming in to investigate your whole ass, the police department. That's never gonna happen again. So Suge Knight's girlfriend is indicted for selling fatal hit and run video to TMZ.
And she made that money, didn't she?
Man, if Suge Knight can't trust his girlfriend, what hope does anybody else have?
Come on.
You know, that's the sad part in all this. But nearly 2 years after he was arrested and charged for murder after a federal hit and run, they left one man dead and another one injured. The parties who allegedly sold the video evidence to TMZ have been indicted for the crime. According to Variety, Knight's girlfriend, Toylan Kelly, and his business partner, Mark Blankenship, have been charged and indicted for allegedly selling the video of the fatal hit and run to TMZ for $55,000. Apparently, the two spent nearly 30 days making a deal with TMZ for surveillance video. However, prosecutors say the video was to be used as evidence in a murder case and its release was prohibited. Last week, she pleaded not guilty to counts of conspiracy to obstruct justice, conspiracy to violate a court order, and conspiracy to commit grand theft, just nearly 2 months after the initial indictment. As for Blankenship, he's still awaiting arraignment for the same charges, according to publication. If convicted, they could face up to 3 years in prison. Damn. She was out here in these streets on his ass. I wonder if he knows, or if he put her up to it for the money, maybe.
He may have. Like, you don't never know.
I don't know. I'm not blaming the victim. Montana attorney defends calling a 13-year-old a temptress at a rape sentencing. That's literally blaming the victim. I don't know how you cannot be blaming the victim if you're going. A Montana attorney defended her widely condemned comments about a teenage rape victim's appearance during a sentencing hearing. Lisa Kaufman told the court last week that a 13-year-old victim looked and acted like an adult. She said Missoula County District Court Judge Robert Deschamps opened the door to her defense. Her client, 26-year-old Justin Griffith, pleaded guilty to felony sexual assault earlier this year for having sex with a patient at the Teen Addiction Recovery Center where he worked. So he worked there. He knew she was a teen. And Kaufman told the court the girl looked and acted much older. She acts like she's 18 years old. You should see the pictures of her and the hair and the makeup. She told the Missoulian that she brought up the girl's looks to provide zealous representation that she owed Griffith, who was accused of sexual misconduct by a second girl, but those charges were dropped as part of the plea deal. So he's probably done this twice.
That they know of.
Yeah, just that. I'm just a lawyer for a guy who's probably a child rapist, and I gotta do my job. This is the best job I could do. I'm comfortable saying things that are unpopular if it's best for my client, she told the newspaper. My point wasn't to re-victimize her. My point was to get him a lesser sentence. By re-victimizing her. Yeah, okay. Kaufman said the judge first called the teen a temptress during sentencing when he suggested he might permit Griffith to avoid prison if he believed the girl played a role in her own rape. I tell you what would make a difference here. So the judge even said, so the judge's instruction was like, if you can prove that she played a role in her own rape, he might let him avoid prison. So already it's on the judge too. But like, well, she kind of just raped herself a little bit. I mean, maybe I can work this out with this guy. Tell you what would make a difference would be if she was some temptress that raped him and now he's, you know, cause he was a victim, but the perpetrator happened to be underage, you know, that might make a difference, the judge said, according to the court transcript.
Do you not know the guy? You don't know the laws, dog. You don't know the laws.
But short of that, I don't know that anything will make a difference, he said. Well, of course, you and I both know that, Kaufman told the court, but every women's rights group in this country will be all over you and me. We're not allowed to talk like that anymore. So you had a judge that was encouraging this. These are the people on the bench when you go there to try to get a fair trial. Just go to the police. Just take it to trial. This is the guy on the bench going, well, you know, if she's the one that's really the real rapist, the 13-year-old,
the child,
but you know, that's just the PC mafia come get me. You know, it's just two PC, the PC culture is just out to get judges for saying the real stuff. You know, you and I know that what the truth is, but everybody, anyway, let's go. Court's in session, fair trial about to happen. And keep in mind, this is a guy that pled guilty. So what is the argument even?
Come on, is the argument?
A guy that's done this to multiple women, multiple girls. What is the argument? So the prosecutor said she found the conversation offensive, and Kaufman didn't describe the girl's appearance. Kaufman told the newspaper that the girl at the treatment center may have acted out sexually as part of their trauma. She insisted she was not excusing her client's behavior. I'm not blaming the victim here. I'm just saying you have to put all that together in terms of the way they presented themselves. The judge reviewed the transcript Friday and said he understood why Kaufman believed he was inviting evidence about the teen victim, but he insists the attorney misunderstood. That wasn't my intention. I thought I was just saying I could see a situation. The only way I could see giving a deferred or even a suspended sentence was if this guy was raped by an underage person, but I didn't think that was the case here. The legislature wouldn't have even allowed judges to give deferred sentences unless there was some sort of fact pattern. Yeah, okay.
I judge a piece of shit.
Yeah, well, this is the world we're telling people to go get justice in.
Oh, come on, and so is that lawyer. You could have said no.
Right.
All the cases, you pick this one, dog.
Right. Exactly. All right, let's get into, oh damn, I probably should have opened up the segment music way before I tried to get into our segments. That is, oh, you know what? Let's do another story until the Spotify opens up.
Okay.
Is your vagina saying yes? Sex expert claims her very unconventional methods can seduce any man they want. Okay. It's true. You never been around a temptress. Number one, ask yourself, what do I really want? Louise says that before anything else, women should think about whether they really want to be with the man they're trying to seduce, whether he's the right man for them, and if they really want to have sex. Men are very good at being fast in their minds and strong-willed, and women tend to be a bit more floaty, not knowing what she wants and a bit more compromising, she explains. So, do you really want to?
Is a white woman?
Yes.
Okay.
Her name is Louise Manzanti. She's a sex therapist on Channel 5's new dating show, Make or Break.
I don't want your information, baby.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Number two, check in with your vagina. Is she saying yes or no? Louise says a woman really needs to know what's right for her and her way of checking that is feeling what's going on with her body. What does her body want? Not what her mind is telling her is the best thing. Not what her partner would like from her. What does she want? She can feel that way when she feels into her vagina. You gotta feel into the vagina, Karen. Gotta get all up in there. See what's going on. Number three, if she's saying yes, bring him on. Proceed to point four. If vagina says no, forget about it. Look, if the vagina ain't feeling it that night, it's a wrap. Okay? So, I mean, that's the truth. You ain't got to, I mean, what you gonna do it with the vagina saying no? That's ridiculous. Women have forgotten to listen to their vaginas and put up the boundaries that their vaginas are speaking. When her vagina says yes, go with it. But when a vagina says no, go with that. That keeps the vagina happy. Gotta keep it happy, y'all. Keep the nappy happy is what I always say.
Not the nappy.
Visualize the experience exactly as you want it to be. Fantasize away the best you can. Forget about porn scenarios or come into feeling what do you want. What do you like? What are your desires, Louise says.
Should she give a nickname too?
Number five, feel the sensations in your vagina as you're connecting with the fantasy. Louise believes women must unlock their pussy power. I think they may unlock. unlock their pussy power in order to enjoy sex and connect with their partners. She says a woman's power is in her vagina. Mm-hmm. It's all up in there. Y'all get to that power, guys and ladies and vagina people. I don't know what your gender is, but if you're a vagina person, that's what I like to call you. Walk around here with a vagina, get all up in there, experience that power. Okay, that's what Louise said. Walk towards your intended target and letting the sensation in your vagina guide how your body moves. So, you know, just kind of like walk up on with the vagina jutting forward, kind of like a crab walk, if you can visualize that, you know. Mm-hmm. Let the vagina lead you where the vagina wants to go. Mm-mm. Use that vagina's compass. Okay. Louise believes that the way women walk and carry themselves has a big effect on their success in seducing a man. Mm-mm. Number 7, look him in the eye, breathe, and feel the power in your vagina. Mm-hmm. The relationship counselor believes a woman's connection to her intimate area determines whether she has a good sex life or not. Yeah. If you gotta breathe, you know, y'all fellas, ladies, people that are into vagina people, y'all would just be looking at them like, oh my God, look at how she breathing. That's a powerful vagina. I can feel it through her eyes.
A word.
Mm-hmm. Some people call it crazy eyes, but not me. I call it vagina power eyes.
Mm-mm.
Number 8, feel the sex.
I reject all of this, but go ahead.
But go ahead, as you said. See, that's you feeling the power of your vagina. The vagina said go ahead, and you trusted your gut right now, and that's why we're going.
No, you just gonna finish the article anyway. If we go ahead and finish it.
No, I'm just doing what you want to do. You said go ahead. Okay, we're only at 0.8.
How many points is it?
10.
Okay, we almost finished.
Louise says feel the sexual confidence that arises when you feel the natural feeling of your vagina. Mm-hmm. You got to be a natural woman. Mm-mm. No? Okay. Louise says we are brought up in a culture, and this is worldwide, we as women are supposed to be more compromising, more subordinate, more accommodating, and men are supposed to be showing the direction and being in charge of that. Women are trained to accommodate, and that is why I'm talking about reclaiming your pussy power, because women need to know what they want and set the direction to their own lives. I don't know. I'm starting to think that Louise might have stole all this from that one black woman that used to be on YouTube talking about pussy. Y'all remember her? What was her name? She was like real vulgar with it though. But that woman, now she had some pussy power for your ass, okay?
She had them gems, them jewels.
Look, she's dropped knowledge on these fools, and I mean, it was broken down like it could never be unbroken, okay? I think Louise might have did, what do we call that, some appropriation up in here, okay?
Just a nicer format.
Yeah, like she took the cuss words out and stole that woman's whole brand. Yeah, Alexis Tyler, that's her. Like Alexis Tyler, now she tell you about that pussy, okay? She gonna have you feeling real powerful, okay? Louise in here and doing them yoga poses and talking to women one-on-one in the room. Mm-hmm.
And I breathe deeply and stretch.
Yeah, I think it was Alexis K. Tyler, actually. You know, and she was talking about, yeah, look at this vagina power right here on the YouTube.
Yeah, folks doing the downward dog and shit.
Right. Louise, what's her name? Louise something. She done stole this woman's whole Steve.
Some of the things I'm talking about, because if you really want to earn your man, you need to learn your man. And a lot of times we get caught up with the wrong men or caught up in a man's penis power, because it's good. I mean, if a man has been around and he's a hoe, especially like the ones I'm talking about that hopping from here and there, they have a lot of practice, and they know a woman's body, they know the power of their penis, and they know how to soothe her body and to soothe her vagina. So it's really easy to be caught up with that dog kind of man. Like that one girl asked me why she thought something was wrong with her, because she liked the flashy guys with the jewelry. I said, there's nothing wrong with liking a flashy man. You just have to know what type of spirit and energy he's carrying. Because there are some good men, although they still like to flash, they're not whores. They don't give their penis to everybody. You have to be able to recognize them, because the man that is living to ejaculate, he's in a predator mode. And when a man is in a predator mode, he's going to look for the weaknesses of a woman that's lonely. Her vagina is cold. She's mm-hmm. laying in bed at night playing with her toys. Or she's got a man beside her. He's a good provider, but he's not hitting the walls and working the middle like mm-hmm. that dog that she having that sneaky sex with.
What drives a woman to toys?
Because, like I said, she needs the vagina penetration. A lot of women are hooked on having clitoral stimulations. You have an outer orgasm with your clitoris, but also you have inner orgasms inside the intra-vagina, inside the vagina.
See, I feel like this white woman just watched this clip, wrote down all these little things, took the cuss words out, took out the hoes and the dogs, and was like, I'm about to make $1 million in the UK. Got her own TV show now, wearing yoga pants, talking about listen to your vagina. How is this any different? I'm not co-signing these messages, but how is this any different? I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with a woman pleasing herself with a toy or any of that shit. I think, you know, that's, but whatever. Point being, Alexis K. Tyler need to come get her coins from this white woman who is clearly ripping her off. Okay?
Walls hitting G-spots, and every woman's G-spot may be similar, or some women may have more than one G-spot. So some women are actually hooked on coming. I mean, it's women that can be at work at their desk. They got the jackrabbit on. It's a part you can buy hooking onto your clitoris all throughout the day. And you can be having orgasm.
Jackrabbit.
That one of them I know they call. I knew some girls. That was their favorite partner. That was their favorite best buddy to keep in their pocketbook.
But see, I go back to when I was a little girl.
Older
being
woman.
Raised in the country.
Yeah, by the way, they need a podcast. Because it can only work if both of them. I need this older woman to be disgusted the whole time.
Because she was
confused.
What the hell is that?
Right. Clitoris.
Jackrabbit.
Clitoris. I drive a Ford Taurus. Now, I ain't never heard of no clitoris.
Mm-mm.
What's that? What that run on that electricity or something? What kind of car is that? An orgasm? Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm. I heard of the Phantasm. The mask, you know, the Phantasm. I ain't never heard of no orgasm. Okay, we need to rewind this and explain this, Alexis. Vagina. I went to school with a girl named Regina. Okay, we're gonna have to take a break. We need to go commercial.
I know, right?
Ooh, I need a drink. I need to get some water in me or something. I'm gonna pass out.
Girl, you too much.
Jackrabbit jump from here to there.
Yeah, we're talking
about
the rabbit
out. Come on, man. What? Jackrabbit jump from here to there. Jack. Come on, man. What is going on?
When I was a little girl being raised in the country, jackrabbit jump from here to there.
Yeah, we're talking about the rabbit out.
I ain't talking about no real rabbit. Jump. But a rabbit in nature jump from here to there. Just constantly. Movies.
Yes, and they say that they have taken that same concept of the rabbit jumping from here to there, and the design of it jump all up on the clitoris, just jump out of control and make the woman have an incredible orgasm. That's
we
why
are
they
living
call
in the 21st century.
That's the mechanical jackrabbit for the clit. Some men, they have so much heat and intensity in their penis.
Now, heat
that
and intensity.
You can feel it radiating through their clothes just to touch the penis. Feel like it's fire underneath the skin. So a lot of women start going crazy. They actually think, because all penises are not created equal and they don't hold the same level of intensity. So if it's one hot like that and he has the energy, he knows how to work his hips, work his buttocks, and really twist her and bend her like she's a pretzel. And
oh, them Lawrence strokes. Okay.
The gratification she needs. She's going to be hooked and think that that's love or a deeper root level. She's going to become sexually, mentally, mm-hmm. and emotionally attached, although he...
To that radioactive penis.
It's hot fire.
It's hot burning through the pants, y'all.
It's flame emojis.
Well, you feel the heat off of that penis in them pants? I mean, you better... Woo! Wow, I'm going to burn myself. Woo!
Ain't no good. And this other man she with provides for her to take care of children that ain't even his. That woman will still...
I feel like Alexis got a specific couple in mind. I don't know
who she keep talking
about. I don't know
about.
If it's her in the past. I don't know if it's
family friend, a cousin.
Somebody telling their bitch.
Somebody aunt.
She putting someone's business all up on public TV right now.
Naming names, but this sound like this is a personal experience.
Right. She gonna fuck around and be like, and when Gary, you know, comes home and he tired from work and his penis is cold, it ain't hot. You know, she called Jerome.
Ain't in lukewarm, girl.
Right. She called Jerome. Oops, I'm sorry, Sonya. I'm putting your business out. I know you told me in confidence, but I just needed an example.
Sneak and get that penis power from him. But what she doesn't realize is we have to deal with our attachments and separate the love, the orgasm, and the penis. They are separate issues. Because if we're in a lower level of it and we hooked on the penis power and this man won't even buy you some shrimp from Long John Silver's and what...
Okay, guys, I swear to God, I didn't pause it and I don't remember seeing this video before. I swear to God, I was about to say shrimp. I was gonna say some shrimp from Red Lobster. She said Long John Silver.
Yeah, I was gonna say Leah Red
Lobster. I was gonna say, won't even buy you some shrimp from Red, and she said shrimp. I can't listen. Alexis is she's spitting this some of it's fire. True. Some of it's true. I'm just saying.
That plate, what, $2.99? Well, he can give you a mouth full of sperm and a rectum full of sperm and
a rectum full of, what happened to the vagina? What happened? We're skipping over stuff, Alexis. Just edit it. When did we get to the rectum full of sperm? We have a vagina to mouth to ass now.
I was not ready.
Shrimp and sperm. What is going on with Alexis? Just, you know, she's a savant.
You know, light bread. It's like we have to see what our issue is, because a man like that doesn't respect a woman. Yeah, he'll hit her, but if a man is having sex with you and he had the opportunity to be with you, or he's an ex, so that means he had you before the other man that's providing for you could get to you, and all he's offering you is a side of penis when he can sneak in and out your man bed and out your man house, that man ain't got no respect for you, and he know you don't have none side for yourself. But because you're so hooked on him and you're hooked on the penis, you will sacrifice and sell yourself out to let him come in the back door, or let him come at lunch, or come in the dark, when your real man that don't have the same penis power is handling all the expenses. So a woman thinks she getting over and think, oh, that's the best sex. But she really playing herself, and he playing her. Because it ain't about her. It's about his ego and about his penis and his testicles and how many notches he can get up on his belt to brag about. Remembers. That's why it's why I was saying the other show, don't let every man hit the bottom of your vagina, the root of your vagina.
They don't know about the bottom.
Yeah, that bottom.
See, she know about that. She don't know about Jackrabbit, but she like, mm-mm. Now see the bottom of that vagina? I done been that girl. My vagina has seen rivers, okay? Tyrell, if you listening, fuck you.
May not know, because he might not have a penis to really know how to hit that bottom, or how to lift to hit that bottom and work that middle with a woman. She spread her legs wide and she started screaming, saying, yeah, daddy, that's it. Or she might start cursing or screaming out all types of profanities because he done hit the bottom. And now her mind, she insane. Her mind ain't good because the penis done ejaculated all in her brain. She's gone crazy.
The penis has ejaculated in her brain.
That's some strong penis.
I don't know.
It's some strong sperm.
I'm gonna be honest with you guys. Not sure about the science behind this. You know, I'm not 100% sure. I mean, I took biology, the chapter where the vagina bottom is connected directly to the brain. I didn't know about that. So
I learned I'll uterus, ovaries. You know,
fallopian tubes. I'm learning a lot right now.
Yeah,
all from this white woman shocking Alexis. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's what she sounds like.
I was like, now I want to hit her.
No, it's too late. Let's go back to the white terms. Mm-mm. Number 9, maintaining eye contact. Oh wait, I'm sorry. Number 8, feeling the sexual confidence that arises when you feel the natural feeling of your vagina. Louise says, we are brought up in a culture, and this is worldwide, we as women are supposed to be compromising and more subordinate and more accommodating, and men are supposed to be showing a direction. Oh wait, we said this, sorry. Number 9, maintain an eye contact and connection with your vagina. Power, simply say hello. So you just got to feel it in your vagina, and all you got to say is hello, and a nigga gonna know, y'all. A real nigga gonna know. Like, ooh, that's vagina speaking.
I'd rather hear Alexis.
You rather hear Alexis? Mm-hmm. All right. Karen just, Karen got introduced to the pussy power of Alexis and don't want to go back.
Mm-mm.
I mean, that clip was long. It was like another 5 minutes on it.
You would have made this call.
Some of the things I'm talking about. All right, hold on. Really want to earn.
I got to go back to it. Also, I didn't realize it didn't show up on the screen. Sorry about that, y'all.
No problem.
Trying to get it to show for y'all.
No problem. Would it let you at it?
Yeah, I'm trying right now.
Okay.
Let me skip forward to where we was at. We was like halfway through this shit, I think. Is it showing now?
Not yet. I know sometimes it's a delay.
Okay.
There you go.
Alright, cool. Let me see if I can play this.
Real man that don't have the same penis power is handling all the expenses. So a woman thinks she getting over and think, oh, that's the best sex. But she really playing herself. And he playing her. Because it ain't about her. It's about his ego and about his penis and his testicles and how many notches he can get up on his belt to brag about. Remembers. That's why it's why I was saying the other show, don't let every man hit the bottom of your vagina. The
okay,
your
so
vagina.
We back to it.
They don't know about the bottom. They don't know about the bottom.
Tell them, girl.
But see, every man may not know because he might not have a penis to really know how to hit that bottom.
And sperm up in that brain.
Hit that bottom and work that middle with a woman. She spread her legs wide and she started screaming, saying, yeah, daddy, that's it. Or she might start cursing or screaming out all types of profanities because he done hit the bottom. And now her mind, she insane. Her mind ain't good because the penis done ejaculated all in her brain. She's gone crazy. So you don't let every man hit your bottom and your body remembers it. Just like a man will put a woman over doggy style or maybe get a mirror or something. Then they start hitting that woman from the back or on her back. They hitting her. Then they start talking. They start saying all kind of stuff to her while they're hitting her. And see, that woman is being seduced. She being seduced. He breaking her down, man. He is screwing her into submission. He's screwing her into slavery by using
slavery
as a weapon to break her.
I know a lot of ladies have been there. You get fucked into slavery. Next thing you know, you a goddamn slave to that penis. That hot penis.
That flame emoji penis.
Down. And her defenses, I mean, she wide open. When the penis all up in your vagina, man, you don't have no defenses. Unless you just really are thinking, and this is not about the love experience, this is about a money experience, so she's a prostitute. Then she's working it just for her benefit. But when a woman is really liking this man and she's feeling him and what he's doing, especially if she's sneaking around with him and he has nothing to give her and her man is treating her better than he is, he has already gotten her defenses down, but she's very weak, and that's the worst thing that can happen is a man to get you in while he's thrusting the penis in and out. Who is it? Whose vagina is it? Who it belong to? What I said? Who? And then the woman starts calling out the...
I didn't know Wesley Pikes owned the vagina, the penis. I didn't know that was the person whose penis we've been talking about.
The whole time.
Whose is it?
The man name, screaming the man name. Then she let him know she coming. When she coming, she hollering. She calling for him. Man, this stuff is programmed all up in this woman's vagina, rectum, uterus, all up in this mind right here.
Right.
And that will actually bind her, actually reduce her to a cum freak.
Exactly.
So she can't get to him. Cum freak. She'll slip him in, and then that's where the jackrabbits and all the different size penises and dildos come in because she is trying to, she's remembering and trying to recapture that experience. So you, that's why I said you don't want to let everybody hit that bottom. You don't want to let everybody spank you and talk to you all kind of ways because women, they especially when that man pull it back, won't give you the penis no more. Women will be all in the bed at night trying to sleep, tossing and turning. They dreaming about it. Lord have mercy. They wake up out of their sleep because they dreamt the man done did this to somebody else. And the thought of
ain't no heartache like that.
That, you know, is devastating. That woman heart get to beating fast, blood pressure go up, she can't hardly catch her breath. Just to think about that man done rationed that out and laid that out for somebody else and bent them over and talked to them too. And
so
spanked them.
Having
the PhDs and master degrees to put on my wall in academia, but I have a master degree in being played by men, used by men.
Oh, yes! PhD!
Oh, my God. She has a penis hurt degree. Listen.
Come on, penis hurt degree.
She like, I've been hurt by enough penis that I don't have to go to school. Okay, I've been to the school of life.
Ain't no book smarts.
The school of hard cocks, okay?
You can't tell me shit.
A wall in academia, but I have a master degree in being played by men, used by men, told everything I want to hear to get men in positions. And I am, to be honest with you, I'm just going to be real about it. I'm very upset by being made a fool out of and being, we're about to close now.
That was about to get personal.
Right.
I think she was about to cry.
But is there something, cause I didn't let you talk very much. Well, you let me talk. Say what you want for the closing. Go ahead and say what you want to say. I'm sorry.
The only thing I can say is, again, I've learned something that I didn't know. And I'm definitely going to be on the watch out. Cause I know what's out there. It'll come at you. And from where you're saying it coming at you with all full force, all this power coming at you, then a girl ain't got a chance. So I'm going to have to stay prayed up.
Yeah.
Oh!
She's like, I can't deal with that. I got to stay prayed up. I don't want none of that penis. That hot fire flame penis. Mm-mm. Feel like you won't come up in here, devil.
You're not gonna jackrabbit my feet, my vagina.
No, no, you won't be doing. I don't want no sperm in my brain. She got that old woman scared.
Or sperm in my rectum.
Come on.
I done made it this long in life,
and I that ain't never happened, and I don't want it to.
Mm-mm.
We have to know who we are. We got to know our role.
I got to keep standing in the Lord. I got to ask Jesus to keep me every day.
Thank you for watching the Alexis Tyler Show, and we'll see you next time with more of Vagina Power.
See? I wonder what happened to her.
I have no idea.
This is Lexis K. Tyler of 2 now. Mm-mm-mm. Where are they now? Lexis K. Tyler.
You know, the internet let you know.
She got to have a wiki or something.
Something.
If not, them that porn wiki or something, I don't know. She's still around.
I'm pretty sure she is.
There's Alexis K. Tyler at Vagina Power on Twitter. When was the last tweet? August 7th. But it's just these are just auto tweets from YouTube. I don't know, man. Alexis K. Tyler might not be. She only got 6,000 followers.
That's all.
What? She ain't tweeted in a long time. Nothing real. So, I don't know, but
we
maybe,
hope you
I hope she's alive.
Me too.
Hope no hot penis didn't get a hold of her. And
it took her out. Mm-mm.
You know? Yeah, like 2015, she was interviewed. So, you know, she's still around, hopefully. Anyway, guys, now that the app, the Spotify is up, we can get into our segments. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe, we find different articles, and we assign point scores to intervals of 25 for how much we feel fuck with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. Yay. Did I accidentally delete the chat? What did I do? Is the chat still up?
Yeah, it is. If you hit certain buttons, you'll make it big where it'd just be me and you in the chat to disappear.
Oh.
Click over there beside the share. It's like a box.
Okay.
And you click that, it'll bring the chat room back in.
I don't see it. Share screen. I don't see a box.
Oh no, I
is it this box? Nope, that toggles full screen. My bad, y'all. What have I done?
Let me see. Click right there.
There's disabled chat. That makes it full screen. It's all good. As long as they're still chatting, don't worry about it. I'll figure it out.
Okay.
Oh, view chat. There it is at the bottom. Yep, got it. Cool, got it back. All right, cool.
Because I know your set is a little different than everybody else's.
Yeah, that was weird. All right, let's get into some fucking with black people. Here we go. Let's see who's fucking with us today, because always somebody, ain't it? Someone at Gaming... what was the name of this website? GamingCentral.in wrote, is PewDiePie really racist, or does he just not care? written by what appears to be a white dude in a hat that's covering his face.
I wonder why.
The N-word is deeply rooted in PewDiePie's vocabulary. He just can't help himself saying it. Just stop the silly European ignorant whataboutism. He's a Swede living in UK for quite a few years now and is fully aware how offensive the N-word is. He's just a racist edgelord who, through spending so much time on the internet with other trolls, has clung to offensive language and behavior ever since the rape jokes, homophobic jokes. Also, his username was You're Gay during the N-word stream, and Nazi anti-Semitic jokes. Before people got defensive by the word racist, know there are different levels of racism. Spouting racist slurs is one of them. You don't need to read into someone's hearts and minds to know if they truly hate a whole race of people. You can judge them by their actions. Racism isn't just physical violence. He said, and then he has examples of this dude saying racist shit. PewDiePie being racist again. This is a month ago.
You stupid fucking...
Ninja.
You stupid fucking nib. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
So, that's him joking about it. That was a month ago. September 10th, which is after the controversy, right? He gets caught saying the N-word again.
What a fucking nigger. Jeez, oh my God. What the fuck? Sorry, but what the fuck?
That was the time that caused the controversy. And then this, okay, so that was actually the one that caused the controversy. So the 14th, which happened after this, he you know, after his apology, and he lost some of his sponsorships.
Okay. It worked. Great.
His life flashed before his eyes, I guess, because he almost said it again. That's how embedded it is in his shit. Mm-hmm. And that came after his apology. So yeah, but I don't really fuck with this article because it does one of those things where it's like, do you guys think that it's the media overblowing the issue, or is he really a racist? I don't know. Just let us know. Leave comments and we'll figure it out. For the records, I do like his videos for the most part and think that he's funny. This just seems to be a disturbing pattern of behavior for feuds. Yeah, 100 for me.
100.
Yeah, and he's a racist, yes.
Yes, he is.
Racist got mad at Issa Rae for saying that she's rooting for all the black people at the Emmys last night.
Zero, I don't care.
Yeah.
They get mad, nah, I don't care.
Mm-hmm. She kept it all the way real. On Sunday, when she told a reporter the Emmy she was rooting for everybody black. Needless to say, her comments didn't go unnoticed by those who don't understand racism. This is one of the biggest hindrances to racism in America, is just that white people love talking about something they don't understand. Like, we don't teach it in schools what racism is.
Mm-mm.
So we really put a lot of people into society that are very ill-equipped to talk about it. And people don't read on about it, and they don't do research on it. They don't like feeling bad. White people don't like feeling bad because they don't want to hear what their ancestors did or the way the systemic shit benefits them just for being a white person. They want to feel like all the work is theirs. And black people don't like feeling bad because they had to read about their ancestors and the oppression that they faced and all the anti-blackness and how shit is stacked against you every day. Nobody wants to read about this shit in this country, but we need to. It's imperative. We'll never get better, and people are less informed than they need to be, and so the conversations are woefully inept. You know, how many media spaces and TV shows start with, you know, no black person should ever say the N-word. I'm like, because you have no fundamental understanding of systemic racism. Like, you have no fundamental understanding, so you concentrate on some superfluous shit like that. That is simply, that's luxury rap, dog. That's nothing. That has nothing to do with how people are living in the streets. Like, you can abolish the N-word and they still not gonna hire niggas at jobs. You know what I mean? But that's the level of debate that we have in this country for the most part. It's shit like that. Should black people buy Jordans? You know, shit like that. Where it's like, what does that have to do with the fact that, when you see, a prison is filled with black people? How did that happen? You know what I mean? At any rate, she said, I'm rooting for everybody black. And then people start responding. Don't get any more racist than this, folks.
Yeah, because they don't know what racism is.
and these are people with a lot of retweets and responses now, probably from people that were outraged. That's my guess. Mm-hmm. Like, I doubt that these are famous people. Mm-mm. For the most part, they're probably just trolls. Like, this one has an American skull.
Come on.
And they have 763 followers. So, you know, this is kind of that thing where they went and found the tweets of angry people and put it into an article, but the tweets aren't actually representative of a lot of people, or at least she wasn't like attacked by these people or anything. But God forbid a white person say that room for all the white people racist much. White people don't understand racism. Talk about racist, you are, says a woman in a Make America Great Again hat. Someone says, at Vanessa, at Issa Bay, you are aware this is racism, right? And shout out to Issa Rae, who responded to one of the tweets when someone got upset by it. Talk about racist, you are one. She replied, sure, Jan.
Oh, God.
Sure, Jan. That is the greatest response.
Come on.
But yeah, zero for me, too. Mm-hmm. Alabama high school students called out for racist pep rally signs. You know, when you got so much school spirit, you just got to get a little racist. Y'all never been there?
Nope.
We really got to act like we all never experienced, like, you're rooting for your school so hard that it makes you a racist. Mm-mm. I'm the only one that's been to a pep rally and went, go Trojans. Also, I hate Mexicans right now. I'm sorry. The game was too good. I'm too excited. It's a big matchup. Two students from an Alabama high school are under the community's and internet scrutiny after an image capture at a recent pep rally showed them holding signs that many feel are racist. A viral photo depicts two students at Robertsdale High School holding up signs saying Trump, make America great again. Why is the presidential campaign considered racist, but he can't be called a white supremacist?
Come on.
Okay. Two claps in a circle. A viral.
Yes.
And then the other one was put the panic back in Hispanic.
What?
Along with the other school's mascot. Guys, guess who's holding these signs up?
White people.
Two white girls. That 53.
Come on.
That 53, dog.
Future
53. That 53 up in him. Like, come on, man. It's hard to trust somebody.
It's whiteness as a whole, a collective.
Right. Like, when I got to deal with this shit, it's hard to trust, dog. But yeah, they were holding it up. Make America great again. Put the panic in Hispanic. And, you know, of course, it's the, what's racist about that?
Yeah, if I try to act shocked and surprised.
That's right after Trump tried to rescind DACA.
Hmm.
Right. But you got 6 months to get out, guys. Mm-hmm. One of the girls responded, I'm one of the girls, and I'm sorry. Sorry. Let me get some water. Okay, here we go. I am one of the girls in the picture at the Robertsdale High School prep rally. I had the sign that said, put the panic back in Hispanic. Sir, I would like to inform you that wasn't my intention and was not meat. I think she meant mint. Was not meat for it to be taken that way. We played Spanish Fort Toros on Friday night. I was meaning panic the Toros. Considering when I think Spanish, I think Mexican or Hispanic. When I realized how people were taking it, it wasn't going to bring it. But my friend, I wasn't going to bring it. No, Karen. Mm-mm. Don't you shake your head at me. But my friend, who had it in his truck, brought it to the bleachers when one of the boys sitting near me saw it and held it up. I do apologize for making our school look bad, and I do understand any consequences I must face. But I also believe in my right of speech. I did not mean it in any kind of racial way. Half of my family are Hispanic. The half I don't see.
I'll never visit.
Thank you for your time reading this. I apologize for all the publicity and misunderstandings this has brought to our school.
You get a zero for that apology.
That's the worst fucking, that's not an apology.
No, it is not. Zero.
Yeah, right of speech. get the fuck out of here. 100 for me.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. And I know I'm not Hispanic. I don't give a fuck. I'm still offended as a black person. 100. Stop being racist. A Uber driver had to kick some passengers out of his car for being racist, so then they responded with more racism.
Hmm.
I'll teach this nigger a lesson.
I'll just be more racist.
By racism combined,
we are racism. Yeah, they're like Goku. Ah, racist!
Oh no, they racism is at level 9,000. What are we gonna do?
What are we gonna do?
It broke my scouter.
9,000. I didn't know racism could get that high.
They did a racism. What do you call that?
They
confusion. They're racism fusion.
That's right.
Fusion technique. Yeah, I don't know how that helps you out.
Using racism jutsu.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they understand how this racism thing works, but that's not helpful.
Mm-mm.
When you get kicked out the Uber for being racist and you immediately double down on the race. Anyway, so yeah, apparently it's prevalent as ever. Here's the video. Let me see if I can play some of this. Shout out to these Uber drivers that record their car. Smart.
Yeah, because you're dealing with the public. I don't blame them.
How's it going?
All right, yourself?
Pretty good.
White privilege.
That gets funky.
Nope.
Maybe not.
White privilege.
Is this for Rebecca?
Is that fucking Mike Tirone?
No, it's Ian.
Can you push that back up?
Ian, you're not coming to my house.
Campus,
Ian, you're not fucking coming to my house.
Yeah. Can you push that back up?
We're timing him.
Yeah, I think when he got in, I immediately heard one of them say something like, what privilege? So, who knows?
I thought I heard one of them say white power, too.
White power?
Yeah, when they initially got in.
Mm.
So that was going to be a problem from the beginning.
Do you have an aunt?
What's your name?
No, I don't.
Olivia?
Okay. You okay?
Yeah, I'm straight.
Nate.
Can I get the radio?
No, man, I just need you to relax.
Okay.
Hey, Nate, do you need us in the back?
No, I'm straight, dude.
What's your name?
I don't know.
I know many of
them. Yes, this is for Rebecca. I'm sorry. I mean to ignore you.
Oh, it's fine.
No. Just
watching
this guy right here.
No, he's okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Watch him. So I guess one guy must have really stood out to him. He didn't feel too comfortable with that shit. So he started asking him specifically, like, is that dude, are you okay? Y'all gonna calm down? Like,
yeah, and my thing, all jokes aside, it ought to be mandatory that they record every transaction that they have. As drivers, they ought to give them cameras because you're a company, for your own protection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people make claims and things like that, it protects the driver and it protects the customer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
But then maybe some people won't want to be recorded. I don't know.
I mean,
what? What's wrong with
you?
Need to sit up front.
I don't know, bro. What's wrong with you? You okay?
Yeah, I'm straight. All
right. So I guess he's talking to. Okay, so there's a guy in the passenger seat that you can't see on the camera. Mm-hmm. And that's who he keeps asking if he's okay.
I'm gonna jump in fucking crazy.
I ain't crazy, dude.
I don't know what's wrong. Sweating like crazy.
Sweating like crazy because it's fucking hot outside.
Yeah, it was really hot.
Motherfuck. You want to put your seatbelt on?
Yes, I would like you to put your seatbelt on.
Here we go.
So I guess they driving. He had to hit the Yui. I don't know.
Please don't touch my stuff, bro.
Okay.
So dude started touching stuff on the dashboard, I guess. Okay.
I need you to get out.
What, me?
Yes, all of you get out.
What the fuck?
I'm sorry, Rebecca, but your car has got to go. Get out of the car.
Buddy, what's going on, dude?
I'm asking you, dude, to leave.
You're fucking joking.
No, I'm not. White privilege, leave.
Dude.
Okay, so he did say that white privilege shit when he walked in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Get the fuck out.
And he heard that, and he was like, oh, this is going to be a problem.
Right. And the way motherfuckers been acting since the election, yep, y'all can get out.
Right.
I don't want to be in the next article about this dude got fucked up by these white kids.
Right, because it's more y'all than it is of me. Get out.
out, bro. What's leave, on, bro. Hey, you're fucking bitch ass nigger, dude.
Right, he called him a bitch ass nigga. Somebody really asked, why'd you kick us out? He said, ask his white privilege ass why. Like, at this point, what are you trying to salvage?
Right.
Call another Uber, motherfucker. I'm right. Not coming back.
Right. And depend on, most of the time, you can actually see the driver.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all knew he was brown anyway.
Right. You knew when he showed up, he was brown.
Cancel the trip then.
Be grateful that I'm a calm, cool, collected dude, bro.
By the way, this is why I have such a fucking problem with the sheet caking, with the let's have Sean Spicer at the shit, with the, you know, I'm not all white people. Not one of those white people checked the dude who said that racist shit.
No, they did not. And told everybody he was wrong.
Everybody in this situation got mad at the driver and were like, what, bro? What's going on, bro? I mean, why are you kicking us out? They all heard him call that dude a nigger.
Yes, they did. They
heard him say that white privilege shit when they got in the car.
Yes, they did.
And then the one dude in the blue goes, I'm not racist.
It don't matter.
So what? I'm going to give you a ride home? Y'all all got to get the fuck out. And that's your homeboy. You didn't say a motherfucking thing. Like, yeah, like you said, you lucky I'm a calm dude. Like, you lucky I'm, you know, that I'm not some motherfucker that just gets triggered by the N-word and starts swinging on motherfuckers, because then I'd be fighting five white people, probably get jumped.
Come on.
I bet you they jump in that fight.
I want you to relax that mouth of yours, bro.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
Don't call people niggas, man.
Hey, just go, please. I'm sorry. Nate. I'm sorry for this. Please go.
Nate, that's right, bitch. Shut the fuck up.
Nate, stop.
This is shit that kind of scares me as a black man, is that fight or flight. Because, you know, right now, in my mind, I'm like, the smartest thing to do is just get the fuck out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I hope and I pray that that's my response.
Right, did I make that right decision?
Because the right decision is, honestly, man, shit happens, and to walk the fuck away. And because this is a dangerous situation. You know, it's in the middle of the night. There's a bunch of these white folks. Ain't nobody going to believe you. Like, if he had this video, he definitely would have been fucked. But even with this video, people going to, like, if something would have happened to this man, like he got killed or something by these white folks, they would have used this video as evidence that he was aggressive, that he got out the car, that he was attacking them. You know, because you can't actually see the altercation. You can only hear the audio once he gets out the car. Like, yeah, man, I just pray to have the calmness to walk the fuck away. Like, hey, man, it ain't even worth it. Let me just go on to the crib. You know, let me go back to work or whatever. Anyway, man, I give this video 100.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. There's like 2 minutes left. I don't know if there's more that happens. I don't know. So it sounds like they're now telling him to stop calling the dude a nigger because it's, you know, obviously loud and obnoxious and shit. This is another thing too. I remember when I used to have white friends. They would tell me the story about like a dude they hung out with, and like occasionally he'd do some racist shit. And I was like, why do y'all hang out with him? And they're like, oh no, he's cool, bro. Da da da. I'm like, but how's he cool? Cause he only says that shit to black people y'all don't know. Don't mean he don't think I'm a nigger.
Come on.
And I was like, I'll never kick it with that dude. I'll never be cool with that dude. Like, he used to try to be nice to me. I'm like, I know how you already are inside. Like, that you don't cut that off for people. You just withhold yourself from saying it, but you still think that about me. I'm no different than the person that you stepped on your shoe at a club and called a nigger. He hit somebody, apparently got in a fight with some dude, called a black woman some racial slur and a bitch. Like, I wasn't there, and they tell me these stories like, yeah man, he's just like, first they didn't want to tell me, but I'm like, y'all obviously have told these stories to each other because I'm hearing like the shit then it's hush 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 when I come around, and I'm like, oh okay, yeah, okay, cool, y'all kick it with him, that says a lot about you.
Yes sir.
Because I'm not kicking it with nobody like that.
Nope. And for me, and I know everybody has had different experiences, but for me, something I don't kick it with is a bunch of drunk white folks. That is like a negative. If I'm around a bunch of white folks, they start getting fucked up and lit, it's time for me to go.
Yeah, I just, like I said, it's disgusting because they won't even be ostracized from their social circle. What'll happen is they'll go, we can't kick it with black people as much. We can't get black Uber drivers no more. They don't go, we should tell, this guy can't be our friend. Hey, you can't do this shit. No. So,
yeah, and also it's one of them things where you're gonna hear, I'm not the 53%, you know, I'm not the problem, I'm not racist, you know, and it's one of the things where people go, I don't give a fuck about the words coming out of your mouth, it's about your actions. Actions speak louder than words, and that's a real thing. Because if you still associated with him, you're still kicking it with him, you ain't cut them off, you know, the only time you told him to stop is, you know, when you seen it was quote unquote getting out of control, quote unquote. And if it wasn't for that, you probably wouldn't have said anything. You sure didn't tell him not to say white power, nor did you tell him not to call him a nigger.
Supermodel Jordan, 100. By the way, sorry.
100.
Supermodel Jordan Dunn has claimed she felt unwelcome at her own party, posting allegations on social media that the club does not like black people. In a series of tweets, Miss Dunn, who modeled for Topshop at London Fashion Week, claimed on Sunday, "The way I was treated at my own event was disgusting. The reports suggest her brother was at first refused entry to Rain Nightclub, but later allowed in." The 27-year-old tweeted to her 284,000 followers, "Do not go to Rain Nightclub. I repeat, do not go to Rain Nightclub. They don't like black people. They want to play our music, but they don't want our black ass in the club. Ha. All right, cool.
Come on, new session.
All right, going to the next session, guys. Give me 1 second. We'll be right back. Okay. Click around a little bit. There we go. But yeah, I mean, any black person that goes to these, has been to a club, has seen like the double standard dress code type thing, the you know, the oh we full, all of a sudden when your black ass get there we full, you can't wear those shoes,
come on, you see somebody walking fucking barefooted.
Right, like yeah someone this side pulling a full caveman out there,
come on, they got their socks on,
right, and then they look at you and be like, sir, no athletic gear, we can't have you up in here, you know. So yeah, I think a lot of people have had this experience. But even then, it's not like it's my party. When it's your party and it's celebrating you and the club is,
which means you paid.
Nah, not that you paid. This is I'm saying she's like a model, like,
oh, the, okay, I see what you're saying, the event. Yeah,
the event is literally her event, and the club is like, don't let this nigga in. I don't know about this. The party was launched, was to launch Miss Dunn's misguided ex Jordan Dunn, clothing collection. It's not a misguided clothing collection. That's the name of it. Misguided.
Right.
By Jordan Dunn. Clothing collection, which with guests in attendance, including Stormzy, Lee Ann Pinnock, Gifty Louise, Felicity Hayward, and Iskra Lawrence. Miss Dunn posted later, "Thank you to everyone who came out. It means everything to me." Right. Nightclub has been contacted for comment hours before her misguided party. Dunn sat front row at Burberry's show wearing a plasticized lace trench coat, pink slip dress, and pink lens sunglasses. On Sunday, Dunn closed Chop Shop's catwalk show wearing a pale blue chiffon dress with a flowing train.
Yeah, she's like, the event is for me, and y'all won't let my black ass in.
You won't let my brother in, right?
Well, you don't let him in, you might as well not let me in, because he come with me.
Right. White suspect, 100. White suspect arrested in Louisiana killers of black men, police say likely racially motivated. Police believe the slayers are two black men in Baton Rouge were likely racially motivated and said Sunday they have a suspect, a 23-year-old white man, in custody. The suspect, Kenneth Gleason, was being held on charges. Authorities didn't yet have enough evidence to charge him with murder, said Sergeant Lejeune McNeely. McNeely said that shell casings from the shootings linked the two slay-ins, and that a car belonging to Gleason fit the description of the vehicle police are looking for. He said authorities had collected other circumstantial evidence but wouldn't say what it was. There's a strong possibility that it could be racially motivated, he said. McNeely said that in both shootings, the suspect fired from his car, walked up to the victims as they were lying on the ground, and fired again multiple times. He added that police hadn't found any relation between the suspect and the victims, so it could be random hate crimes. You know, we still don't know what happened to that dude in Arizona that was doing that. Maybe this is him. I don't know. I know there was a dude in Arizona for a while that was riding around killing black and brown people, and I don't think I ever heard any update on that. The shootings happened about 5 miles from each other. The first occurrence Tuesday night when Bruce Cofield, 59, who was homeless, was shot to death. The second Thursday night when Donald Stewart was gunned down walking to work at a cafe popular to Louisiana State University students. It took two black lives for no reason.
No reason, dog.
Mary Smart's aunt said she was still dealing with the shock of her nephew's death and couldn't understand what had happened. I'm feeling down and depressed. My nephew, I love him, and he was on his way to work, and that makes it so sad, she said in a telephone interview Sunday. He was always smiling and hugging everybody. A lot of people knew him. Smart had a son and two daughters, she said. She declined to comment on police allegations that her nephew might have been shot because of color of skin. I cannot say, only God knows. It wasn't immediately clear whether Gleason had an attorney or when his first court appearance would be. No one answered the door at his house in a quiet neighborhood of mostly ranch style homes with well kept lines about 10 miles from the shooting. He looks like any clean cut American kid, said neighbor Nancy Reynolds, who didn't know Gleason or his family. She said it was hard to believe this sort of thing is still happening. Still happening. Mm-hmm. East Baton Rouge District Attorney Hilar Moore wouldn't comment on what led investigators to Gleason. Detectives searched Gleason's home on Saturday and found less than a gram of marijuana, along with vials of human growth hormone, in his bedroom. According to police document, after Gleason was read his Miranda rights, he claimed ownership of the drugs. A year ago, racial tensions roiled Louisiana's capital of city of 229,000 when a black man was shot to death by white police officers outside a convenience store. I was talking about Alton Sterling. The sad part to this, in a way, is and I mean, it's humanizing a person, but they have to like explain that the black person that got killed was a good person. You know, he showed up to work, he did his job, he had kids, he hugged and loved everybody. So this is really senseless. He didn't just shoot a regular nigga, you know. This is one of the quote unquote good ones,
right?
100 for me. Ohio fireman was suspended for saying he would rescue a dog from a building before saving a nigger.
That's not surprising, because I know it's a running joke for a lot of black people, but white folks love goddamn animals. I could see you saving your cat before you save a black person for a lot of people, because they go overboard. Not all of them, but sometimes with the PETA people, I'm like, dog, if a cat get a nail, claw, I gotta listen to you cry. But a black person die in this motherfucking crickets, yes.
That is surprising. He didn't say black person, he said nigger. This ain't just about loving dogs. This is about hating black people. So yes, it is different than just, even when PETA says some stupid shit, it's worse than that to me.
It is.
Fireman from Franklin Township in Ohio has been suspended for posting to Facebook say he'd rather save a dog than a nigger in an emergency.
This is a part of his job. That's the problem too.
He said that if he chose between saving a dog and an African American man from a burning building, he saved the dog's life because one dog is more important than a million niggers. Despite being a volunteer, the Ohio firefighter is paid for his services when they're needed, but he will not be called while his case is under review.
Which means nothing's going to happen.
What's under review? Did you say it? What's the review? Like, low key, this shit should be like an arrestable offense. Like, y'all actually go to jail for being in a public service position and being a fucking racist.
It's your motherfucking job.
You should go to jail. Cause when you take these positions, there is no, we guarantee you we'll only send you to the white people house shit. And if something happens on a 1% chance that, let's say you didn't even mean what you said, but on a 1% chance you go to a black house and them black people die.
Oh, you getting sued.
Not just getting sued, but you should go to jail.
Yes, you should.
You shouldn't be allowed to have this job.
You should have been fired for just saying that.
Yeah.
Because it is fucked up.
Right. Listen to this. Recently, a Franklin Township volunteer firefighter posted unacceptable remarks on social media. Upon gaining knowledge of this information, Fire Chief Steve Bishop immediately contacted the firefighter and directed the comments be removed. The firefighter was suspended without pay until the Board of Township Trustees could meet to determine a course of action. Chief Bishop does not have the authority to terminate employees. Termination of any township employee requires a vote by the Board of Trustees.
We got a vote to get a nigga out?
Right.
And it's probably strategically like that because they know y'all not going to vote nobody out.
Right.
Instead of saying, motherfucker, you fired. Get the fuck out of here. The three black people that live in your city is now scared to death.
100
Karen. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100
How a white man on Wall Street ruined a black girl gathering with a racially tinged joke. For those who may not have known, Madame Noir was recently acquired by a media company, Interactive One. Interactive One owns another black woman's site called Hello Beautiful. You know it. In an effort to forge some type of relationship on a level of camaraderie between the two teams, we decided to meet for lunch one afternoon. Ooh, they spilling all the tea. We work near the Wall Street area, so we decided to eat lunch at a restaurant called Industry Kitchen, situated right across from the water. We were having a good time. The conversation was flowing. We chatted about everything from whether or not Daniel was wrong for skiing on Issa's face to the podcast dedicated to finding Richard Simmons.
Y'all see, we're breaking down aftermath of
to the podcast dedicated to finding Richard Simmons. In the midst of talking, eating, drinking, and laughing, two white men, one dressed in extremely well-tailored suit, came over to our table. The man in the suit leads, "Are you ladies from out of town?" One of the 10 of us answered, "No, we worked out here." "Oh, I should have known that." At this point, really from the moment he walked over, I checked out the conversation, but more on that later. "So are you guys celebrating something?" "Yes, the merger of our two companies." Another one of my new coworkers chimed in, "You might read about it in the Wall Street Journal." And not missing a single beat, the man said, "Where? In the crime section?" Why would you read about it in the crime section? What does that have to do with anything? I don't understand.
I thought he was justified with that answer too.
They were just out celebrating, eating lunch.
Get nobody ask you to walk your ass over there.
Nobody.
You could have left the woman alone.
Having a perfect time.
Right.
Fighting about Insecure.
Just having a good time.
You had to just come over there and drop your racism.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't help yourself.
Mm-mm.
Oh, look. Black women having fun.
Right in front of my salad?
Right in front of their salad. You had to do it.
Right in front of their salmon they was eating. Come on.
At this point, I'm looking around the table like, did y'all catch that? Everyone did. Thankfully, Sharice Frazier, who also wrote about this incident, said, "Did you say the crime section?" He said, "I was kidding." So in the group said, "It's not funny."
Come on.
By this point, the suited man was trying to change the course of the conversation. He told us that he was going to send over another round of drinks and dessert. Personally, I was ready to bounce, but the process of the free drinks had the other ladies excited, so we stayed. It ended up working in our favor. The man's inappropriate racially tinged joke was the only thing we could talk about, so much so that the waitress made her way back to our table and asked how we were doing. We had to tell her not so great, since the suited man who was standing in for the owner that day had just offended us. Oh, so he was actually working. He was standing in for the owner that day at the restaurant. And then she's tried to gloss over it, well, like, "Oh, he was just kidding. We told her that what we told him minutes before wasn't funny." Eventually, she came back and acknowledged what he said wasn't cool. Once she had come to a revelation, she left the table and we could see her talking to the two men who come over earlier. I assumed from their body language and suited men's facial expression that she was telling them we weren't happy. Seconds later, came over to say this, and she has a video of him talking to them. Sorry, I don't have my share screen on. How do I make this smaller? And sorry, I'm gonna try to get it on screen so y'all can see it.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
It's gonna take a second. All right, there we go. And oh, and I need to turn the volume back up so y'all can hear it.
Sometimes it's a delay.
It's not like a
because we right. Still don't see it.
Y'all still don't see it.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Okay. It just popped up.
All right, cool, cool. All right, let me go back to the beginning so y'all can hear what he had to say.
Yeah. Don't associate black people with crime, please. Yeah, we gesture, but...
We were having a great time, but let me ask. Here's some
signs. Oh, please, yes, ma'am. Oh, dear, no, yes. No, it was thunder off the phone.
I know.
Your message is received.
That's your takeaway. Yeah.
Your message is received.
Good. Thank you.
I'm off my phone.
It's okay. We felt awful too. Luckily, it was in a restaurant and on the street in front of police.
Don't be angry.
Well, you can't decide the reaction.
But I can accept it.
Yeah.
Well, it came over and said, don't be angry with me. He felt awful. And one of the things I noticed, I mean, he did apologize. One of the things I noticed, and this is just something that we I think we all do a lot of times, black people and offended parties, we're not really gonna hold on to our anger because it's almost like not socially acceptable. So it's like they were kind of trying to make him feel good too. Like, listen, it's okay. You fucked up. It's, you know, like, it's like we can't help it. You know what I mean? I'm not knocking them for that. I think it's just a fact of life. Like, we don't get to be petty and hold grudges in that type of way without it being socially unacceptable. And there's part of us that just wants shit to go away almost. Like, let's just move past this moment where you fucked up. And
there's so many offenses that are against us till the fact that you were literally going crazy if you take a notebook of all the offensive shit that ever has happened to you. I gotta let it go. And it's almost sad, but, you know, as a black person, particularly as a black woman, you have to pick and choose what you get angry about. So the things that you do speak out about, you're very passionate about those things because all the other bullshit you let ride.
Right. Yeah, and she goes on to say, kudos to him for apologizing. Still, I won't be returning to industry kitchen ever again. Really, it's no great loss. In addition to being associated with crime, the food just wasn't that great. Still, my decision to avoid this particular location doesn't mean I won't have a similar conversation in the near future. These type of interactions aren't uncommon elsewhere in the Wall Street area. For my first week working down there, you can sense the suited white men don't know how to talk to or respond to a single black woman, let alone a table full of us. Either we're ignored and overlooked, or our presence requires some type of explanation, which is why his initial question of were we out of town or celebrating something was nothing more than a thinly veiled attempt to ask us, what are you doing here?
Right.
These type of interactions epitomize the difference of the definition of microaggressions. The man didn't tell us we couldn't eat there or try to make us feel unwelcome. Still, the fact that our presence required a line of questioning rather than a simple greeting just goes to show how hypervisible we were to him. And the joke about the crime section is not only offensive, it's incredibly ironic. If we, a group of black women working for a black company, represented some type of criminal element, it wouldn't be the first time Wall Street has seen it. If anything, black people have been the victims of the crimes perpetrated by suited white men like him, not young black women like ourselves. That's the thing that trips me out the most about racism, the projection of negative characteristics onto the oppressed group, when the oppressors have been the greatest agents of atrocities. Black people built the entire country. Still, we have to fight labels of being lazy and shiftless. White people have terrorized the entire world, yet everyone from Native Americans to Africans and every person of color in between has been painted as immoral and soulless. And today, when we point out these facts, we, the people of color, are the ones being accused of being divisive or racist. Shout out to the St. Louis thing too. A cop kills a black man and the violence is the protesters that pushed down a flower pot or broke a window. That's the violence that needs to stop, not the actual taking of a black life. The violence against property, that's the real offense.
Because property is more valuable than your life.
Yeah. The only hope, the only bright side of the situation is the fact that now, unlike in days past, black people had the option to express our discontent, the opportunity to write about such incidences and share them with the videographic proof on the internet, and the good sense to opt out of dining at places that really don't serve us. So, yep. 0 to 100.
Oh yeah, everybody gets 100. And you know, one thing white people like to do is they want to buy their way out of your anger, you know. Mm-hmm. Because I'd have been like, I know I don't want your shit, let's go.
Right. All right, let's move on to something else. I don't know what to do after this. Let's see, how about do a little bit of white people news, guys. All right, let's see, what do we have here? I don't even know how to categorize this one, but gotta have our music for the white people news. You guys know this. Let me pull up the song and you guys can decide what to do with this, okay? Because I'm not really sure if this is gonna be offensive to people or not, to be honest with you. Let me know if it's showing in the chat. I did share it.
It's up now.
Okay, it's up. All right, cool. All right, here you guys go. Wait, is a commercial about to play? Turn this volume down.
You don't care nothing about your commercial.
Tell you what commercial I care about. Loot Crate. lootcrate.com/TBGWT, code TBGWT. Get yourself $3 off of any new subscription, okay? This White People News is brought to you by Loot Crate. And the people here at the Blackout Test, we're trying to hook you up. This month's theme is robotic, okay? Robotic. You know, some of our favorite franchises deal with robots, droids, all kinds of things. Star Wars, Star Trek, Aliens, Blade Runner. They all deal with some level of, you know, cyber droids and all kinds of shit like that. Whether it's data or it's, you know, aliens, you had the synth that, you know, they look like humans but they were really robots. And Blade Runner, you know, you had those same thing, humans that look like robot that are actually robots. So anyway, the point being, you gonna want to get in on some of this stuff. Blade Runner's coming out this month, I believe. Like, get you a shirt, get you some gear. Like, it might, you don't know what's in this box. Might be a dope ass mug. Take pictures, take selfies, get on the internet with it. The Blackout Tips is trying to hook you up. lootcrate.com/TBGWT, code TBGWT, and get $3 off. You got to do it by the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time or you will lose out on this month's theme. So make sure you guys do that. All right. Now let's play this white people news music. All right.
All right, stop. Collaborate and listen. ICE is back with my brand new invention. Something. Grabs her older, meets Ivy, flowing like an awful. Daily and nightly, will it ever stop, y'all? I don't know. Turn off the lights, and I'll go to the extreme. I rock a mic like a vandal, light up the stage and wax a chalk
like a candle dance.
Caress the speaker that booms, I'm killing your brain.
Like a poisonous mushroom.
When I play a dope melody, anything less than the best
is a felony.
Love it to leave it to
better gain weight.
Better hit fools out of kid don't play. If it was a problem,
yo, I'll solve it.
Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it. Who put little eyes?
Come on.
Who put little eyes? Eyes, baby. Oh, eyes, eyes, baby. Yeah, eyes. Vanilla ice, 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 baby. Oh, ice, ice, baby.
Got the remix.
Now the party is jumping.
Oh, shit. Beat change.
Fingers all pumping, quick to the point.
To the point, no faking.
Burning MCs
like a pound of bacon.
But I know if you're not quick and nimble, you're crazy when I hear that symbol. I am. With the souped up tempo, I'm on a roll.
It's time to go solo.
in my 5.4 with the rat top down.
So my hair can blow. It was a problem. I solve it. When my DJ revolves it.
Vanilla
ice.
Vanilla ice,
ice, baby.
Oh,
ice, baby.
Oh,
come through, white man.
Vanilla ice.
Take that pain
vanilla
away.
Vanilla ice, baby.
Oh, this like
ice, ice, baby.
Need more people.
All right, stop.
Collaborate and listen.
Ice is back. My
brand new edition. Oh, come on.
Grabs a hold of me tightly, flowing like a harbor, daily and nightly.
Duh!
Encore. That was great. I don't give a fuck what y'all say.
That
maybe
bad.
That's the key. Maybe that's the key. We gotta have
his voice sound like pain.
We gotta have white people doing white people rap covers. I don't know. I don't know what the key. Maybe that's what we need, y'all. That's y'all's man. Let's see what Trump's up to, guys. The Department of Justice rollback program intended to identify problems in police departments. Told you. Mm-hmm. Yep. Everybody said they cared about the progressive agenda and all this shit. Yep, you kicked us in the ass, and it's not gonna happen. If you didn't sit out there and vote, man, if you didn't get out there and vote, bruh, you killed us. Literally, motherfuckers gonna die, and nothing's gonna happen. Nothing's gonna happen with St. Louis Police Department. They're not gonna look into that trial. They're not gonna look into, the policing overall and how they treat the black community. They're not gonna, no one's getting fined. There'll be no review board, no process set in place. So, but hey, look, maybe people just didn't care. Maybe they don't think that's good enough. So might as well be nothing. Might as well kill us with impunity and be no oversight at all. I don't know. Maybe that's how people feel. Federal court says Trump administration can't deny funds to sanctuary cities. That's good. Which is funny, right? Because they are the number one states' rights, local municipalities need to figure out what they want to do. Small government. A small government says, hey, man, we allow people in here. Fuck that shit. We not giving you no money. Well, the court says it's illegal.
Come on.
Donald Trump's America. Racism is becoming an even bigger problem, Americans say in poll. Yeah, well, yeah. Trump accuses many sides of violence again in Charlottesville. This is not a repeat. This is right before he signed that thing that condemned white supremacy. He was still saying two sides to it. So what's the truth? Anybody?
I don't know.
Which one's the real Trump? All right, let's get into the lighter, whiter people news. Conservative commentator Scott Nell Hughes, I was raped by Charles Payne and again by Fox News. Former Fox News contributor Scotty Nell Hughes on Monday filed a suit against the network claiming she was raped by Fox Business Network host Charles Payne, then targeted by executives for retaliation after coming forward with the allegation. Now, she is one of the white blonde women that go on that show, and he's that black dude that got in trouble for, I want to say it was an affair, and then he was kicked off.
Yes.
And that was the woman that had wrote about him smelling like coconut. According to a lawsuit, Payne pressured her, pressured his way into her hotel room and forced her to have sex. She claimed she was forcing a sexual relationship with Payne in exchange for career opportunities and the promise of a business contract that never materialized. In July 2013, I was raped by Charles Payne. In July 2017, I was raped again by Fox News. Since then, I've been living in absolute hell. Hughes alleges Fox News blacklisted her as she ended her relationship with Payne. Payne, the host of Making Money on Fox Business, returned to the network in September after a two-month... Ooh, they didn't even get rid of him.
Oh, yeah. So no wonder why she's like, nope, if I got to go, you got to go.
After a two-month-long investigation into multiple allegations of sexual harassment and a statement to the Times, Payne maintained his innocence. Charles Payne vehemently denies the allegations of the statement, Ray. He will defend himself vigorously against these claims and will hold those responsible to account. That is horrible. Let's see. Mario Lopez is assaulted by a man at his Las Vegas gym, who threw his phone at the wall. Man, we're going after, is it Zach? The fuck is fighting Mario Lopez in 2017? The fuck? Mario Lopez was reportedly being assaulted by a man at his Las Vegas gym who threw the actor's cell phone at the wall. The extra host, extra, extra, was working out in Planet Hollywood spa by Mandara on Friday when he accidentally bumped into someone. The 43-year-old quickly apologized, saying, excuse me, but the other gym goer quickly became aggressive, responding, you got a problem? He was on that juice. As tensions rose, an employee quickly intervened. But as Lopez went to grab his phone from the locker room benches to leave, the other man reportedly snatched it and threw it against the wall, shattering it. Security arrived and cops were called, but the actor declined to press charges, although he agreed to have his phone replaced by the hotel. The aggressor has been banned from the spa. Man, who won't fight Mario? One, Mario Lopez seems like the nicest guy. Like, I don't know if it's all fake or not. He just seemed like one of those good, nice people. Two, he's kind of yoked. Who the fuck is running up on Mario Lopez like, I'm gonna show this motherfucker? The unfortunate incident did not appear to ruin Lopez's day, as he was spotted at Jennifer Lopez's All I Have concert at the same hotel later that evening. He shared photos from the event, including one Instagram shot of himself and his wife Courtney Lopez, with whom he shares kids Dominic 4 and Gia 7. Well, I found out something new. I always thought Mario Lopez is gay. Okay, didn't know that. In another, he shared a photo of Lopez performing with the caption, my girl at J-Lo got down tonight, before tagging Planet Hollywood. So everything, all's well that ends well, I guess. I just want to have that level of clarity in my mind where you break my phone and I don't even get mad. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that guy had a bad day. All right, well, who's going to pay for my phone?
That's all I want to know.
Martha Stewart says pumpkin spice is for basic bitches only.
Oh, shit!
That goddamn felonious motherfucker.
Not basic bitches. A lot of people like pumpkin spice now. It's getting ready to be that time of the year. We're going to eat pumpkin spice everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so not surprised that she would say something like that. Because she a fucking thug, Karen. Okay? You got her out here ruining Snoop Dogg. Got him out here associated with her felonious ass. I hope she don't get America's sweetheart in trouble.
Right. She's like, look, I'm gangsta, bitch.
She's making her opinion on all fall favorite ingredient known. During her visit to Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen on Thursday, the domestic diva got a question from a viewer about pumpkin spice. Martha, is pumpkin spice everything delicious or for basic bitches only? They asked. The latter, Stewart responded without hesitation. Her answer was a hit with Cohen. Wow, Martha Stewart says pumpkin spice is for basic bitches, you guys. I love this. This is the greatest moment of the show ever. The return of pumpkin spice latte and basically every other food flavored the spice mix has become the telltale sign of fall's ushering in. Oftentimes before most of us are ready for summer to be over, Starbucks announced they were bringing back the signature drink with a 24-hour live stream on September 1st, but pumpkin spin coffee had started popping up on shelves as early as the beginning of August.
Shit.
Well, listen, I'll tell you this much.
It's 90 degrees outside.
One, that's a Liza Schweitzer joke that pumpkin spice for basic bitches, because, you know. Also, she makes jokes about pussy in World War II.
Pumpkin spice everything. Delicious or for basic bitches only?
This got too snazzy. Anyway. The other thing I was going to add is, then I'll be your motherfucking Huckleberry then, Martha. Okay, I guess I'm just a basic bitch. Because pumpkin spice, everything is good. And I'm tired of people out here pretending that it's not. Just because white women co-opted it or whatever first does not mean it's not good. I bought some pumpkin spice candles
at Marshall's. Delicious.
You know, listen, don't knock it till you tried it. That's all I'm saying. I guess I'm just going to be basic. Y'all had to just be mad. I'll be basically smelling like pumpkin spice, though. I know that much. Puppy love. Selena Gomez steps out with her new pooch, Charlie. She shares with her boyfriend The Weeknd after revealing her kidney transplant. Her boyfriend The Weeknd has been named one of her biggest supporters after her May kidney transplant. But on Friday night, it looked like Selena Gomez's new pooch with her boyfriend The Weeknd was equally as therapeutic to the star as she clutched him tightly in New York City. Gomez, 25, donned a large red hoodie and black sweatpants for the casual outing with her Cavalier King Charles Spaniel as she left the Chelsea apartment she shares with her beau. Look at that dog.
Oh.
Right? Ain't it adorable?
Mm-hmm.
You know, such a cute little puppy. I mean, who can blame her? You know, we all love puppies. It's a therapy dog, too. The fetish singer is currently filming an untitled Woody Allen project. That guy continues to prosper.
Yes,
in New York
does.
City, after recovering from a kidney transplant he received from her BFF, Francia Riza.
You said she received?
She received, sorry. So I was thinking about Woody and how this motherfucker just did a movie with Miley Cyrus, now one with Selena Gomez. I guess he liked child stars. Wonder why.
Come on.
Selena needs a kidney transplant due to lupus and autoimmune disease. Her best friend Francia Riza donated her kidney to her.
That's sweet.
Mm-hmm. Lupus, which is a lifelong disease, is when a person's immune system attacks its own healthy tissue instead of only attacking viruses and bacteria, causing inflammation. Inflammation affects a person's brain, blood cells, heart, lung, joint, skin, and kidneys. People magazine reports the weekend has been very caring, has meant a lot to her to have him by her side. There's a picture of her friend going into the operation. That's dope.
Mm-hmm.
The source explained that Selena traveled with her musician beau on his tour and he was off during her surgery and right after during her recovery. Since the operation, the Monte Carlo star is feeling much better, according to the magazine. She also has been praised by fundraisers for helping bring in $500,000 for lupus research by inspiring people to donate to the cause. Selena's openness and strong emotional connection to the worldwide audience has brought extraordinary awareness to a disease that's typically overlooked, the CEO of Charity Lupus Research Alliance, Kenneth Farber, explained to E! News. He added, as a result of her encouragement to visit our website, lupusresearch.org, to learn about lupus, our phones have been ringing off the hook and our website traffic has soared. Selena has supported our organization in many ways, donating a portion of ticket sales of her last concert tour to the Lupus Research Alliance and requesting donations to us on the occasion of her birthday as well as yesterday's announcement. So good for everybody. Good for the dog, her and her friend, Lupus Foundation. What a great story.
Mm-hmm.
Fergie and Josh Duhamel have called it quits.
Mm-mm-mm.
Who
was the Josh Duhamel?
Josh Duhamel is a goddamn American treasure. He's been in all the Transformers films.
Oh, okay.
As the main white man sergeant. Almost exactly a year after Brangelina called it quits, yet another celebrity couple is quietly falling. Oh, that's right. I forgot. They was just like Brangelina. Fergie and Josh Duhamel. You know, they used to call them Ferg Hamel.
I don't know what they used to call them.
That's what we used to call them. Yep. While they don't necessarily have a cool portmanteau, oh, I just gave them one, Ferg Hamill. And Fergie and Josh Duhamel have fortunately announced their divorce in a joint statement provided to People.
Divorce? She got married to him?
Yes. The singer and actor, yeah, he loved her lovely lady lumps. Is that the right white woman? Is that?
Was she in
the Black Eyed Peas? Was she in the Black Eyed Peas, Fergie?
I don't remember. Fergie, somebody just said yes.
Okay, cool.
It's a yes.
I just want to make sure these jokes is right. Okay. Guess she wasn't so Fergalicious to him anymore.
No, she was not.
The singer and the actor had a 4-year-old son named Axel. They've been married for 8 years, but insist in a statement they will remain a united front. With absolute love and respect, we decided to separate as a couple earlier this year. The announcer read. Must have ate all her frozen Reese's Cups. To give our family the best opportunity to adjust.
That's enough for divorce papers.
Apparently, according to Twitter, it is. And my Facebook and my Instagram. To give our family the best opportunity to adjust, we wanted to keep this private matter before sharing it to the public. We are and will always be united in our support of each other and our family. So, Fergie and Josh, man. Oh, they can't make it. What fucking chance do we have, you know? We tried it. Goop's $1,300 per couple farm to table dinner party in the Hamptons.
We tried it. Don't that mean they succeeded?
We tried it. We tried to.
Oh, so they went to it.
Yeah. They had to find out, Karen.
That is some fancy tables there. I ain't gonna lie. I like the decorations.
what it is. Lauren Bush, Lauren hosts Goops. Wait, her name is Lauren Bush, Lauren. That's not a typo.
Is that a real name?
Lauren Bush marries David Lauren. Well, I'll be damned. Lauren Bush, Lauren.
What a name.
Host Goop and Cadillac's Road to Table Dinner in the Hamptons with three Michelin starred chef Christopher Costow. Who tried it? Sheila Bayless, People's Body Editor. Level of difficulty, 7 out of 10. Driving in the Hamptons is no farm to picnic table. What? No. There's no farm to table picnic, and I had major trouble deciding on my outfit. Yes, very difficult. Oh, you homelesses. Gwyneth Paltrow's lifestyle site Goop can throw a kooky party, so I wasn't sure what to expect, but there was no vaginal steaming or space age healing stickers at this down to earth event. Hosted by CEO of Feed, Lauren Bush, Lauren, niece of former President George W. Bush, and daughter-in-law to Ralph Lauren. Oh, money.
Oh, well, then her name makes sense now.
The day had three parts: drive, dig, and dine. A portion of the proceeds was from the healthy $1,300 a pair ticket went to Feed Supper, a project that provides meals to hungry children and families across the U.S. The drive: we were provided with a 2017 Cadillac CT6 plug-in to drive to the Hamptons. The car is roomy, has all the bells and whistles, and saves on gas with its hybrid electric motor.
Yeah, $1,300. Yeah, that
see, sense. I don't know if they provided that or if CT6 wants to be mentioned in people.com.
So
they give you a car for the show,
right?
My husband drove, and he was sure that the car is driving itself, since the steering system gently nudges you away from changing lanes inadvertently. You probably could take your hands off the steering wheel for a while and be okay. Not that I'm recommending that. The seat would also vibrate if you got too close to another car, which was sort of fun at first, but happened a lot on the ever-crowded Montauk Highway. We encountered a couple of Hamptons drivers in need of anger management, or at least some time for some Goop stress relief flower essences. Yes, we were a little worse for the weather. All right, we were a little worse for the wear when we arrived, because no matter how smart the car, there's no avoiding Hamptons traffic. We've all been there, right, guys? My favorite feature was the driver display, which allowed Mr. Bayless to keep his eyes on the road while following GPS directions to Amber Ways Farm. The dig.
Amber Ways, the grain. What's happening here?
Amber Ways, that's probably where it came from. The dig. We arrived at the farm. We were given hunter rain boots, sun hats, and cute gardening tools, and then encouraged to explore the farm and forage. I think of foraging as a wilderness survival skill, not a curated Hamptons experience, but we picked some tomatoes. Want the ultimate dish on the list? Okay, anyway, that's sad. It felt wonderful to be outside after the long car ride, and Amber Way's farm is run by two enterprising young women, Amanda Merrow and Katie Baldwin, who involve local families in their sustainable and organic community-supported agriculture program, a CSA, in other words. There were handmade sodas and past hors d'oeuvres, and we met Chef Costow from the restaurant at Meadowood in Napa Valley. He's the third youngest chef ever to receive three Michelin stars and would be responsible for our dinner that night.
What's a handmade soda?
Handmade soda, Karen. It's where you take the corn and you syrup it yourself.
No, thank you. I'm not then paying
you give,
that money.
You add a little high fructose to it.
I'm not doing it at the farm.
We drove the caddy to a lovely but empty house in Amagnaset. Oh, I never heard of that. Amagnaset, set up entirely for our event. After all that foraging, Chef Costow later pointed out that the correct term is harvesting. We were quite thirsty, so we gulped down some local rosé and strawberry-infused cocktails and tried to mingle. I hadn't gotten much of a read on the crowd, since attendees drove to the Hamptons in separate Cadillacs, arriving at different times and then scattered out into the Amberways fields. As we gathered at the house, the group was made of mostly young women and a few couples, and the stylish New Yorkers I spoke with were in the PR and fashion industries. We sat at a long communal table together. Well, you know, they did that probably to get the word out. I mean, well, then I guess you still had to pay for it, so anyway. Mm-hmm. So you really got to know your neighbors, for better or worse. Am I the only one who hates communal dining? I do too. Luckily, we sat next to lovely and entertaining twin sisters who told us harrowing tales of getting lost while trying to escape from New York and then hitting something on the road that made their Cadillac smell terribly for the majority of the drive. These are white people that are so rich, they must not drive. They hit something that made, what, they hit a homeless man, probably?
Come on.
A small child, a small immigrant child.
Right, come on. He didn't have his papers. We didn't care.
Right. Oh. The car smelled so horrible the rest of the drive. It smelled like Cholula. The rest of the drive, it was horrible. Speaking of surprises, the menu included an enormous hunk of fatty meat that I just did not expect to be served to the Paltrow cloud. There were lots of lovely vegetables from the farm, delicious grilled cucumbers, lettuce, and herbs, but the twins and I, now my BFFs and also not big meat eaters, had trouble navigating the beef ribs. Have y'all ever had beef ribs and it's just so troublesome? You know what I'm talking about, guys? Mm-mm. Well, you just like, oh my God, these ribs. What is life? Mm-mm. How did the caveman make it? Okay? We've all been there. You're just sweating and your arms are tired and you're like, I know I can't go to work tomorrow. I had beef ribs. I had to navigate them bitches. Like, turn on my GPS. MapQuest, I'm gonna need you to help me navigate these ribs, cause
y'all too fancy then. You don't know how to get around some beef ribs.
My husband was okay with the huge slab, but he doesn't quite fit into the Goop demographic. We all adorned the corn with butter and the dried yeast, though. I heard several mumbled mouthfuls say, "This is the best corn ever." Yes.
Was it seasoned? Was this the same shit y'all was out there picking?
Why does the menu have, like, they picked some flowers and threw it on their plate? What is this?
Because they did. Those are probably some of the herbs and shit that they use so they can pick.
Man, I tell you, boy.
Well, it may have been one of them things where it'd been like, you know, how they kind of pre-map, hey, you can get a 7-course meal or whatever.
Here's the menu.
$1,300, I better get a 7-course meal.
Gwyneth the scammer. Here's the menu. Carissa's bread with cultured butter. That's right, not that uncultured butter you motherfuckers eat.
Oh.
Yeah. Uncultured butter is totally different than cultured butter. You know, when you have cultured butter be like, why don't you take a dab of me and slide me on some of that bread? Just spread me all around. Thank you so much, sir. And then uncultured butter be like, give me some of that motherfucking bread, nigga. Put me on some of that motherfucking bread. Yeah, slap me on there. Oh, that's good right there.
Uncultured butter is like, they don't know if I'm butter or not, bitch.
Mm-hmm. I might be margarine, motherfucker.
Right.
Pow, pow.
Spread me a sea.
Grilled cucumbers with sea beans and dill.
What the hell is sea beans?
Sea beans. I don't know. What are sea beans?
I don't know. This sounds like that fancy place we went through before. You looking at the menu, you got to Google everything.
What is a sea bean? That is the number one question. Also known as drift seeds, are seasoned fruits that are carried to the ocean, often by freshwater streams and rivers. Then they drift with the ocean currents and hopefully wash ashore. You gotta do all that to get some beans.
So the beans grow in the water?
Yeah, they get carried from water to the sea and then washed ashore, and I guess that's when you eat them. Raw sailfish from Gossman's Dock. Salad of charred avocado. You know she loves some avocados. Lettuce from Amber Way's farm with good seasoned vinaigrette, hearth-dried herbs, and garlic olive oil and white wine vinegar. Grilled corn with butter and dried yeast. Beef ribs grilled over cabernet barrels, beets dyed over the fire. Mm-mm. Peach mochi cream cake sweetened with preserved syrup. The verdict? The event was unique and carefully organized with just the right amount of goopiness. Trying a new car was fun, and even though I still think the car can drive itself, they hired us a driver for the way home since we had been drinking. It was altogether wholesome to get out of the city and onto the farm, and all in all, the dinner was tasty, but those used to Michelin-starred restaurants may have been left wanting more.
Yeah, you probably left hungry.
The most inspired part of the... Well, now, I think all the restaurants don't serve you a lot of food, the Michelin mm-hmm. ones. Mm-mm. The most inspiring part of the event
would you like a thimble full of this? Mm-hmm. Bitch, what? That's 1-course meal.
Yeah, if you watch Chef's Table on Netflix, man, I'll be like, ooh, you did all that for that? That's a lot of work.
for $55
for,
and I'm still hungry,
two bites of shrimp and then it's over. The most inspiring part of the evening was Lauren Bush Lauren's passion for her social business feed. Every product we make and sell has a number on it, and that signifies the number of meals we're able to donate with the sale of each product. I know them homeless people be like, who donated the sea beans and grass?
Come on.
What is this? How am I supposed to eat this?
You know
that? Oh no, that's yeast. You take the yeast and you just sprinkle it on the corn.
They was like, no, don't I make this with bread? No, you do not use that for bread.
Sir, that is cultured butter. That is cultured butter you're putting on there. What are you doing? You don't waste it like that.
I have them freaking out on you. And they're looking like, what? You civilized, sir. Be civilized.
Oh, God. He's taking the beef dried over the fire. He's sprinkling it out over the ribs. This is not how you eat.
Huh. And he's using his hands for these ribs.
We have to stop donating to the homeless. They just don't get it.
Right?
Everybody else bringing like cans of soup in and turkeys for Thanksgiving. They're just bringing in like wild weeds and shit. Here, take three sprigs. You're welcome, buddy. That was our expensive $1,300 worth.
Yeah, they bring in charred avocado.
Mm-hmm.
And then people are like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this? I can't crack this open, ma'am. I can't cut it. I don't got a knife.
We're trying to make what is otherwise a massive, overwhelming issue of world hunger more tangible and accessible and solution-oriented to the average consumer. It's hard to rationalize a $1,300 weekend out, and even in the Hamptons, but it was for a great cause. Y'all didn't even stay overnight.
That's not the average consumer. Yeah, $1,300.
Yeah, y'all didn't even get a room.
And I didn't even get a 7-course meal.
Mm-mm. Right. Mm-mm. And a welcome alternative to a gala and more typical fundraising event. Foodies got the chance to get their hands dirty at the farm and ask questions of a star chef. And I'm sure Gwyneth will be glad to know that I'm going to start putting dried yeast on my corn.
Mm-hmm. And guess who wasn't there, Gwyneth?
Nope. She was too busy filming Avengers or some shit.
Yeah, because if she was there, she would have mentioned it.
Yeah. Well, that's probably for the best if you didn't want some long-ass speech about how, you know, I don't know, putting dirt on your balls makes you cancer free or some stupid shit. It's probably for the best she didn't show up. Let's get out of here with some sword ratchetness, guys.
She be getting over on people, man. In the next Avengers, she gonna be the villain. She gonna be like, it was all me and the goop.
Alleged threats with a homemade sword lead to a 6-hour standoff in Lidgerwood.
What?
Yep. A man who allegedly threatened people with a homemade sword refused to surrender to police for 6 hours despite use of tear gas by negotiators. Must have had some of that apple cider vinegar in there. About 8:20 a.m. Damn, that early in the morning, you crazy?
First thing.
Devin responded to a report that the man was threatening people at a home in Lidgerwood, the Richland County Sheriff's Office said in the news release. Deputies were unable to make contact with the man who had barricaded himself in the home. Negotiators also weren't able to contact him. Eventually, tear gas was thrown into the home and he still did not come out. The Southern Valley Special Response Team entered the home and arrested the man. The man, identified as 39-year-old Michael C. Scratch, guess the race, white, was booked into the Richland County Jail on suspicion of reckless endangerment, a felony. All right, guys, that's it. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you had a good time, because we sure did.
We did.
So we'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah. Yeah.